Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk, and we come to you live every Sunday. And before we get into this, and this topic is going to be hot, it's one of those things that clearly has been the dead elephant in the room, but we're going to bring it in with a little bit of a beat. Some of you tell me this is my caveman beat, but I'm going to call it my straight talk beat. Let's get ready to rumble! I'm on YouTube Live, man. Join me. I'll drop a link. You can come on in and we can have a chat. Love to do it. Don't hide in the shadows. I'm glad you see me as Supreme. I appreciate that. I love it. So welcome everyone and good evening. It's Sunday night. And it's time to do some straight talking. always feeling supreme. I earned it. I worked for that in many ways, more ways than one. So good evening. I'm Ted Santos, and I am Straight Talk. We are that talk show that was made for men, by men. Not even the ladies want to miss this kind of conversation. And this one today, as you see, when the wall calls, and the wall calls them all, what will the women do? You know, it's very interesting that we've been hearing for a while that this is a man's world. And what the ladies forget to say when they talk about this being a man's world is that every civilization on the planet was built by men. And people just think of building a civilization of roads and bridges and bricks and steel workers and miners. People forget about the guy who started with the idea, the plan, and then he had to go find someone to finance it, and someone risked their money to invest in a man's idea, and then he had to go find people to support him. And these were all men who took these risks on something that didn't exist. And if women were that oppressed, they could have always packed up and left. Women have had access to millions and sometimes billions of dollars, and they still do. So if it's a man's world, it's because men built it, and he didn't build it just for himself. Men who plan and build roads are actually thinking about women and how to make life convenient. Even the tampon, while a woman invented the apparatus, a man who was a gynecologist took it and made it better and then commercialized it. He had to go out and find investors so that all women, not just this one woman had it, all women could have this convenience. This is how men live their lives. Yeah, I'm glad you jumped in, man. Thank you. So tonight, we're talking about the wall, and the wall does hit, and when women hit 40, life looks different. When they hit 50, it looks even more different. And the more they go on the other side of 50, the more they realize what life meant. They don't have to wait until they or on their deathbed, they start rethinking life and the choices they made. And I asked the simple question, what will women do when the wall calls? And some women pretended they had no idea what that meant. Now they're offended. How could you ask this question? Yet the wall is undefeated. There is no woman who has defeated the wall, and it comes with a price. I understand women have been told they could have it all, but they didn't put much long-term thinking into that, and it's come with a price for many women by learning the hard way. Now, there are some women of means who I know a woman who is a CEO of a very significant company. And in her mid-50s, she adopted a girl who was around, early teens, 13 or so. That was her solution. She waited until mid-50s. So that's what a lot of women can do. But that woman is like not even, she's less than 1% of the population, like 0.1% when you talk about income. And she's at the top of the food chain, a CEO of a significant company. So most women don't have it like that. And if they are single mothers and didn't do the best job because they did it on their own, some of their children may be resentful. Now, I understand there are lots of men out there who were raised by single mothers, and they will swear by their mother no matter what. No matter how much abuse they experience, I understand that. And they feel like they have to defend their mothers. I understand that. But that doesn't stop the wall. See, the wall calls everyone. See, a woman in China, a woman hits 27. I think I may have written 30, but a woman, once she passes 27, or even at 27, she's considered a Shen Nu. Shen Nu means a leftover. And once you're a leftover, well, you treat it that way. As a Shen Nu. And so I'm going to share a lot. I've got some screen shares so that it doesn't seem like I'm just, these are not my thoughts and ideas. We're going to take a trip. And so we're going to look at the more than just the U.S. We're going to look at what happens to women who hit the wall in China. What happens to women here in the U.S. And I'll even get, have a woman share the reality of hitting the wall. I'll share some articles. I'll share some videos. And I've got some really good fans over here in Instagram. I'd love it if you guys jumped on to YouTube so that we could have it all under one roof. It would be great. I'll drop a link for you. Or you can call in. If someone would like to call in and join in this conversation, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. That's for some of you who would like to hide your face and disguise your voice. Well, jump on in. The phone number is 323-642-1387. Call in. I'd love to have you guys join this conversation. I'm going to take a couple of calls before I start to share. So I'm going to take the first call from area code 870. You're live and on the air with Street Talk. And one of the things I'd like to do is let's stay focused on this topic, because this is a huge topic and there's a lot to cover in this. So if we start going in too many different directions, we're going to lose sight of when the wall calls, what will women do? See, this is one of these conversations. I'd like you guys to share this video. Let's get both men and women to sit down and have this conversation. This has been a dead elephant in the room for a very long time. And men have silenced and not said anything. And there are lots of women on the other side of 40 who are wondering, well, why didn't you warn us that it would be this way? So especially people who are young, and we're going to talk about some of the things that younger people are observing and perhaps are understanding the reality of the promises they were made. If you haven't smashed the like button, smash the like. If you're not subscribed to my channel, this is a great time to do that. Hit the bell so you receive future notifications. And make sure you hit all so you hit everything. You receive everything. And share this one with actually both men and women alike. And guys need to understand this, because we've been told so much and been, women are better than men, smarter than men, more valuable than men. Women give life and all this stuff. Life starts with men, for one. Every civilization on the planet has been built by men. We build life, we build civilizations to make life easier for the women who are carrying the lives that we plant, we put inside of them. So we do things for women that we will never meet. Yet women feel entitled. So men need to understand that women have this very tiny window. And when the window closes, it closes. You know, Shen Nu is 27 in China, but a lot of women hit the wall by 25, sometimes before. I remember being in college and seeing these women who were really hot freshman year. And when they graduated, they were not as hot. They had lots of free dinners. But they didn't go to the gym. They didn't do a sit-up. It was gluttony. They ate all the steak dinners they could. And by their senior year of college, they were no longer hot. So the wall can catch women way before 25 or 30. And there's once we get into that 35 and up, the whole risk of pregnancy, men are thinking about these things. And it's like women believe that men are just going to have sex with anything, but having sex and marrying you, wifing you up is not the same. So area code 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, good evening, boss. What do? This is good old Country Balls from out here in Arkansas. What a do, Latif?
Hey, man, everything is cool, man. You know, in the old days, they say groovy. So we're even going to play some old days stuff to see what women used to say. But everything is cool, man. Thanks for calling.
Almost definitely. This topic here is delicious to you. Superbly put. I like this kind of stuff right here.
All right. Well, we are surely going to get into it. Some people may not like it, but it's that dead elephant that we try not to talk about. We talk about it in different ways. But the wall is...
It's undefeated.
Unforgiving. It's no mercy.
Yes, sir. And right now, see, a lot of them in between a rock and a hard place, see.
Why do you say that?
With the number of men that's been replaced by the women in these jobs, and now with this COVID stuff going on, you know, you got some of them women had to go back home. You know, they had to leave the workplace. So now they're trying to juggle in between taking care of themselves and, you know, trying to find them a hook. So, you know what I mean? A hard head make a soft butt, kid. That was my big mama used to tell us. So, I don't know what to tell them. And the young girls, they messing these young girls up, too. Because, like you said, over there in China, they ain't playing it. Come 25, you consider a leftover. Now, the last of my understanding, Japan not having that problem. They marrying them girls as young as 18, you know. And for some strange reason, we're going to have to get back to that.
But that's also common in Latin America. A lot. It's not uncommon for a woman to marry at 18. So.
But we don't get so far from tradition, Ted, to ridiculous. They saying there's something wrong with the age gap things, but if a man is well established and he matured, he needs to be able to have access to these females in their prime years, not in the declining years. That's backwards, Ted. Maybe you can explain that during this show.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We definitely are. Hold on, man. Let me take another call. Sonia Smith, what's going on? Yo, see you in the house. We're going to take area code 323, live and on air with Street Talk. What's your name and where you call from?
Hey, Pat. Hello, Kendrick. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's
good
going
evening,
on?
Good evening, Joe.
Yeah, so you're talking about the wall.
Yet, man, it must be freezing over there by now.
Well, you get used to it. You know, there's benefits to being here. Second Amendment for one of them.
What was that one of them? What?
Second Amendment.
Second Amendment. So, did you guys get snow yet?
Well, not that I've noticed.
Okay. All right.
Maybe in
all
some
right.
other areas. Who knows?
All right. Cool. So we're talking about the wall, Joe. When the wall calls, what will women do? And it's going to call. It calls all.
Yeah, I was listening to you. And are you talking about the wall primarily in terms of pregnancy? Because when the women hit the wall, even if the women graduated as seniors in their college years, they weren't as hot. And Kendrick said something very, very poignant as well, is that men ought to marry the women in their prime, not in their decline. So the thing is that when women do hit the wall in terms of being able to have children, when they hit the wall in terms of looks, even if they're fertile, men aren't going to want them. So, but women usually hit the wall. I guess most women hit the hit the wall in terms of physical attraction, late 40s, early 50s or so. But, yeah, if you're going to hit the wall at 29 in terms of being able to be wifey material, yeah, you know, men and women do need to take that into consideration. Personally, I'm against marriage. I love kids and kids love me, but at the same time, to have children at the expense of my sanity by being married to somebody who, for some inexplicable reason, may fall out of love with me because of her romantic predispositions founded upon Walt Disney and Harlequin romances, I'd rather be a good uncle than a divorced dad. So are you going to get into the wall in terms of attractiveness, or is it mainly going to be about pregnancy?
Okay. Well, Joe, do you know what age they used to call geriatric pregnancy?
Geriatric pregnancy?
Geriatric pregnancy. The doctors, the medical doctors would tell women they were classified as geriatric pregnancy. And there was an age where that started. Do you know what age that is?
Is that in America, about 35?
Absolutely, 35. Because that's
35?
Where the risk.
Oh, lucky guess.
Yep, risk of complications, okay. Right. So, and I was reading that a woman, in terms of physical looks, on average, not the outliers, on average, hits her peak and looks at 32, not in her 40s.
Oh, her peak, yeah, but she can still play the queen of the ball and get away with it through her late 40s up until early 50s.
Not the queen of the ball, not when the hot 22-year-old walks in. Maybe with some of the older guys, but she's –
Yeah.
Some guys may want to knock, you know, lay her down, but for marriage and raising a family, no, the wall has fallen on her by then.
Yeah, but the 22-year-old doesn't want the guy in his 40s unless he's in his 40s, unless he's rich.
He ain't necessarily got to be rich if he's well-established, though, Mr. Joe.
Well, how do you define well-established?
Somebody like you, accomplished, and you may not be rich, but you're doing well for yourself. That's my definition of established. Plus, you know what I mean? You got some years of... You know what I mean? You got some years. You got life experience. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in terms of that kind of mindset, yeah, because I believe in treating women well as long as they appreciate it and reciprocate it. So if a woman who is, let's say, 25, and let's say she's advanced beyond her years in terms of experience as well, and she can appreciate somebody beyond the age of 40 or 50, then yeah. But I personally, I think women, even though at the age of 32, they've hit their peak, according to the study that Ted's talking about, I don't think they've ever reached maturity in terms of their mindset. Very, very, very few.
That's interesting. Hey, Joe, hold on. I want to take another call. Let's bring in another
okay.
call. Area code 330, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening, Ted and company. This is Letitia calling from Florida.
Well, good evening.
Thanks for calling. How you doing?
I'm great. Interesting conversation.
And why do you say that? I mean, you're a woman. I would like it if more women would call in and engage us in this conversation.
Especially
I know
matchmakers.
Well, I have a unique person.
Letitia, hold on. I know this is addressed, but I really want to look at this from a number of different perspectives in a couple of minutes to share screen, and we're going to look at this from a global perspective. But I'm really glad that you as a woman called in to join us. So go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I didn't call in as a woman because looking at it from just a woman's lens, I'd probably get highly offended at this conversation.
Okay.
So I'm looking at it more professionally than as me as a woman. While older, successful established men do want younger, more fertile, vibrant women, the trend that I'm seeing is that younger women are not wanting older gentlemen. Someone's more than 17 years older than them. So if she's in her 20s, and usually in their early 20s, they're not looking to get married, but mid to late 20s, she's not looking for someone older than 36. 38 is pushing it. 40 is really, really pushing it if she's 29. Even if they're in their early 30s, they're not likely to want to be with someone who is much older than early, so at 40. So, yeah. But another thing is, it's not just on the women. It's just, it's really hard for women to get married in their 20s because a lot of men are not ready to get married in their 20s. They're just not. I come across more marriage-minded women in their mid to late 20s than I come across marriage-minded men in that age group.
Okay. So how do you know if a woman is marriage-minded in her early 20s?
She's ready. She's ready. She could see herself getting married within six months to a year and a half at most. She's actively pursuing. She's doing the work. She's doing the work. A lot of women understand that, especially the successful, educated ones, they, for the most part, the younger women, they understand that looks are important. A lot of them are doing the weight loss programs, although a lot of them struggle with it. They're taking the courses, they're reading the books, they're even listening to Kevin Samuels. They're listening to, on social media now, they're starting to join a lot of men's social media groups. They're starting to listen to a lot of male YouTube channels to get an understanding of what men want, what men are saying.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. And see, there's where I think there's a problem. Saying I want to be married and knowing what it means to be a wife are very two different conversations. Anyone can say I want to get married, but do you really know what it means to be a wife? And that's a very different topic. And I think there's a huge gap in our society, because we tell women, well, if you go to school and you get a degree and you get a job, you don't need a man. You won't have to depend on him. And so women grow up thinking, well, if I have my education and my job, that's going to make me attractive to a man. And that's not what men are looking for. So these women tend to be unqualified for a wife. And that's one of the big problems.
That's half true, because now that we're in the 21st century, more modern, even the younger men have now adapted to the feminist ideology. I get more younger men between under 40 who says traditional lifestyles are out and she needs to have a job and she needs to be making about the same amount as him. Now they'll settle if she's not making too much, but I'm not seeing too many younger men who are okay with a woman not working, not having any funds or means to take care of herself and provide a substantial life for herself.
Okay, I think
I heard what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. See, having a job and being able to pay bills has nothing to do with being a wife. Those are two very different conversations. And it has nothing to do with being traditional or modern. What it means to be a wife is very different than having a job. And I'm saying there are a lot of women who have no idea what it means to be a wife. we stop teaching women. I'm not talking about cooking and cleaning. I'm talking about being a wife, because that's an everyday 24/7 job.
As opposed to sex object kid, we see that out here, but we don't see wives like we used to.
Yeah, but even there are lots of women who are not doing that. I'm just take that, forget that for a second, right? Just even if they're conservative, there are too many women coming out of a single mother household. There are a lot of women who are not prepared to be wives. They don't understand that the choice of a spouse is the most important decision you make. And because it's the most important decision, that spouse is the most important person in your life. And that's just one part of being a wife. And that's missed.
Stealing that, just so you know, I will give you credit on my social media, but I'm stealing that because that was some gems you just dropped there. And I agree. A lot of women, unfortunately, are not raised and taught to be wives. I came across a woman my age, and we were having discourse on a Clubhouse stage. And she was like, well, you know, the problem with the older women is we're not lifting the younger women up and we're not guiding them. And so I asked her, I said, okay, are you guiding them into being, guiding them on how to be a wife? And she said, I talk to them, I have conversations, and I asked her, I said, okay, then what are you telling them exactly? She said, well, I'm teaching them to be independent and to know themselves and to become more aware of themselves, because if they know themselves and become more independent, then they'll make better partners. And I said, okay, but, oh, no, the first thing she said was, I'm telling them, when she started talking about a husband, the husband part. And I said, well, no, that wasn't the question I asked you. I said, what are you teaching them
right. How
to be a wife?
Exactly.
I didn't ask you about how to choose what qualities to look for in a husband. And in the end, she just couldn't tell me. And I told her, I said, see, therein lies the problem. A lot of young women, we're not telling them or letting them know that this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It's choosing a spouse.
Yep.
And she didn't grasp that. She didn't grasp it. And so it was two women in our 40s. I'm 41. She was 42. Having this discourse and not understanding that young girls, even she's like, well, I don't feel comfortable having a conversation with young girls and making them put marriage as a focus. And I'm like, but they need to have marriage as a focus, because if they want to get married someday,
exactly. They
need to understand why they want to get married, and then be able to choose a proper mate. But not only choose a mate, but they also have to present themselves as qualified for the person that they're choosing. So
it's
very hard having this conversation sometimes, because everybody thinks that they know what it is to be a wife. But if you've never been shown it, you've never been it,
exactly.
And you've never been taught, then you really have no clue. So the ladies, you know, I see them coming to me. They want to have this conversation. I think that was the one thing about shows like yours, Ted, and other shows where the women are starting to listen and they're trying to, I will say they're trying. And they're realizing, I get a lot of women who are in their 30s, late 30s, who say, I wish I knew all this information back in my early 20s. I wish I had Miss Letitia, who could have had these conversations with me, because then I wouldn't be here at 36, 38, struggling to figure this out.
Absolutely. Hold on. I want to bring in two callers. One is area code 617. And then I'm going to bring in 310-617. You go first. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from? Okay, 617. I know you wanted to come on, but now you're silent. You must be on mute. 617, you're live. Okay, 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What up, Ted? It's Mo. Can you hear me?
All right, so you've got some background. You must have something playing in the background.
How about that? Is that better now?
It's better now. There you go. What's
perfect,
going on?
Perfect.
Man?
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm turning this up. I can barely hear you. What did you say now?
I just said thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here when I am here. I've already told you why I've missed a lot of shows. You know, some of the most engaging shows to me was platforms like, you know, Tom Likas, and how he would have one or two callers on at a time, but he limits it, you know, and he always, for the most part, sticks to the point. So I'm going to, with that in mind, I'm going to stick to the point. I'm glad that Tisha's on here, though. She's definitely someone I want to get reacquainted with. I think that I assumed the worst of her in the beginning, and I think she's also assumed the worst of me. I think her and I together can help you, Ted, take your platform to the next level.
You know you're off topic already, right?
I'm already off topic. The topic is when the wall falls, what will women do? Now, as people who know me know, I'm an advocate of the red pill community. I know a lot of different communities, plural, in Boston, and a lot of different men, but I didn't know any men talking about red pill, MRA. I had a good friend who was an MRA who introduced me. And he doesn't want these men don't want their names to be on the internet, so I'm not going to say their names. So I'm very familiar with the terminology about the wall. Some people will hear that terminology who's not a part of this community, and they don't know what they mean when we say the wall or, you know, the wall's undefeated. This is all manosphere talk, you know, this is all red pill talk for the most part, you know. But with that in mind, I have a strong appreciation and understanding for what sexual marketplace value is and what sexual marketplace value is and how it works. I understand there are certain things that give men sexual marketplace value. I understand there are certain things that give women sexual marketplace value. But men are different, just like women are different. What one man values, another man simply doesn't. Like a lot of men my age and even older, they value younger women. They value women in their 20s, 30s, you know. And these are men 40 and up, you know, because some of them want to procreate. They want to have babies, or they just got a thing for women between the ages of 20 and 30. That's when women's sexual marketplace value was at its peak. And I agree with that, but I think there's a but there. That's her sexual marketplace value only if you value, only if you as a man value the idea of having a baby. Only if you as a man value the idea of teaching a young girl. Only if you as a man value the idea of the traditional American marriage. But there are some of us men out here that don't value the idea of getting married, that don't value the idea of teaching a young girl, that don't value the idea of, you know, a girl who's between 20 and 40. Some of us actually see more value in women 40 and up, and I'm one of those men. I have a healthy respect, and even the women I speak to, I have no problem introducing to them the concept of sexual marketplace value and what gives men sexual marketplace value and what gives women sexual marketplace value. I think a lot of people get it confused because they think, especially in the manosphere, they think the only value a woman has is between 20 and 40. I think that value is there if you want to do certain things. Some of us men, like myself, we don't care for the traditional American marriage. We don't care for, you know, having children and raising, and we don't care for teaching a young girl who is lost in this world. Some of us prefer that woman who is, you know, somewhere between 40 and up. I'm one of those men, and I have a firm understanding and a healthy respect for what sexual marketplace value is. I think some of these women, there's a lot of women 40 and up. If they don't get their shit together, life's going to be hard for them. But there are some select women 40 and up that with or without a husband or with or without the support of the government, they might be all right, but a majority of them won't. That's being honest. That's just being brutally honest. So I just like to clear that notion up that some people in the manosphere, they take shit too far. They think that the only value a woman could have is between 20 and 40, and a woman over 40 has no value. That's bullshit. Some of these men, I like to call them MGTOW 2.0s or Red Pill 2.0s. These men weren't connected from the beginning. These are men who got hurt in life in the journey. They found MGTOW or Red Pill, and they are still hurt, and they stay there. Some of my greatest teachers have always told us that, yes, us men, we have the right to vent, be angry, be upset, get it out of our system. But MGTOW, red pill, that you hang out. It's not a place that you live. It's not a place that you stay forever. It's a moment where you put life on pause. You vent if you need to vent. But at sooner or later, at some point, you must address the issue of healing and move forward with your life. There's no mayor of MGTOW. There's no mayor of Manosphere. There's no president. There's no bar or hangout. It's not a place that you hang out at. There's nobody in charge. It's not like, I don't even know how to define it, but it's not what a lot of people think. You know, so I'm one of the few guys who can honestly say they were connected from the beginning, from MRA to MGTOW to all the branches that came out afterwards. I was there from the beginning. I was just quietly watching. But I just had to clear that up. I hope we can change this format. I got some ideas to make your format better. I digress. I have a lot of stuff I have to do. I have to get my studio in order, but I'm going to be listening as I work. But I have to get off the line. Thank you for keep doing what you're doing. And let's talk soon, Ted.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Peace.
Anyone want to comment to what you said?
I just want to say that was pretty good. And what he said, I mean, I have a lot of men who are, heck, I've even come across a 20-something-year-old who doesn't want to have any kids. And he's looking for a woman, and he said that he's fine with going older because he doesn't want any kids. The 40-something-year-olds, 50-something-year-olds, they're past done having kids. Now, the one thing they want in the younger women is they want vibrancy, and they want someone who's not going to be, you know, give them a hard time about having fun and creating a life together and building memories together. But then what they come across with the younger women is the immaturity factor. So then they start to readjust what they desire. I helped a client, my most recent client, he's 49, and I started off with him dating women in their 20s. Then we got to the women in their 30s, and it just was not working out for him. His match ended up being a woman who was 45 years old. And he's done having kids, and she's done having kids. And they're still going very strong. So it really depends on, the wall really does matter if the man wants children. And you have some men out there who are willing to adopt. You have some men who are willing to do surrogate if they have enough money. What they really want is a woman who is going to know her role, play her position well, and be on his team and fit into his life without making it difficult. And that's just what I've experienced.
Okay.
In my position.
You wanted to say something, Kendrick?
Yes, adding on what Ms. Leticia just got through, sir. I've been in the same situation. We done ran across, me personally, Leticia, done ran across dudes along my bracket and a little under my age bracket. Talking about they want somebody that's going to, you know, going to know their role and, you know, try not to make that man life difficult. And two, to, you know, make some memories with them. And outlive their years with each other. But that's not what I had came across lately, though.
Hey, 405, hold on. Before I bring you in, I want to play do a screen share of a psychologist and what he talks about. It's very short. Women hitting the wall. He's going to talk about that.
I think that's partly because of the foreshortened time frame that women have to contend with. Like,
let me make sure
women,
I
think that's partly because of the foreshortened time frame that women have to contend with. Like, women have to get the major pieces of their life put together faster than men, which is also partly why men aren't under so much pressure to grow up. So because for the typical woman, she has to have her career and family in order pretty much by the time she's 35. Because otherwise the options start to run out. And so that puts a tremendous amount of stress on women, especially at the end of their 20s. Women deeply want men who are competent and powerful. Power is competence. So if you want domination.
Dominate, is that what you're saying?
No, I'd say women who have their relationships with men.
Well, what gives you the right to say that? I mean, maybe that's how women want their relationship.
I'm a clinical psychologist.
Matt, why should your right to freedom of speech trump a trans person's right not to be offended?
Because in order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. I mean, look at the conversation we're having right now. You're certainly willing to risk offending me in the pursuit of truth. Why should you have the right to do that? It's been rather uncomfortable.
I'm just trying to work that out. I mean, gotcha, bitch. You have caught me. I'm trying to work that through in my head. Yeah, it took a while.
It did. There's plenty of women that are watching my lectures and coming to my talks and buying my books. It's just that the majority of them happen to be men.
What's in it for the women, though?
Well, what sort of partner do you want? You want an overgrown child? No, I think that's silly. I really do. I mean, look at your situation. You're hardly unsuccessful.
Yeah, and I found it quite hard to get
exactly.
Where I got to.
Good
but that's
you.
Okay. Battling is good. This is all about
the fight. Inevitable.
But you talk about men fighting. Let me just put another thing to you.
Why would you have to battle for a high-quality position? There's a personality trait known as agreeableness. Agreeable people are compassionate and polite. And agreeable people get paid less. Women are more agreeable than men.
Again, a vast generalization. Some
it's
women are not more agreeable than
yes,
men.
That's true. But that's right. And some women get paid more than men. I think that's part of it.
So I love the idea that he brought up that women have a very short window if they want to have family. And most women at some point want to have children. They want to have a family. And men could go on. There are stories of men having their first child at 50, in their 60s. Women don't have that option available to them. So they've got a while women have been told they can have it all, they rely to. But women have to get that together. They have to, and you were saying this, Letitia, if you want to have children, you need to make some choices early on of how long you're going to do this career run and when you want to start having children. Because if you don't, you guys have heard me talk about this, in the late 80s, there was a group of three women who were all mid-40s, and they had great careers, never married, and no children, and they had no prospect for a husband. So they literally went on tour around the United States to high schools to tell these high school girls, it's kind of a trap, right? If you do want to have children, you need to be thinking about that now, and what age do you want to start having children, and you need to have a dead stop in your career for when you want to be married and start having children. And feminists had a problem with them going around doing that, and they were kind of shut down in silence. So the real point is what Jordan Peterson pointed out, is that women have to have all this together before the clock runs out and they hit the wall. Now, I got it. There are women out there who don't want to have children. Great. But is that the majority? And how many women get to 55 and find out that that was a bad move? Like, do we really sit down and speak to these women who have reached 50s and 60s and they never married, no children? Maybe they had an affair with a married guy who paid all their expenses and they were living a great life. But now that they are at this sunset or retirement age, they are literally alone and just wandering. And you hear these women talk, and they're not all sunshine anymore. They tell you how alone they feel. And so we're not telling women the honest truth about these things. We're just telling them you can have it all. And you hear it in places like Clubhouse, where younger women are saying, hey, I have an aunt who is had a great career. She's in her 50s or 60s. Her health is not great. She's in and out of the hospital, and she's begging me to come spend time with her because she's alone. She's begging her niece. So we don't tell the young women that this is the dead end that you've been invited to join, where you believe you can have it all and you don't. And even for the women who don't want children or marriage, do they really want to be alone? 405, area code 405. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Ted? This is Chris. Am I coming
through?
What's
up? Yeah, loud and clear, man. We hear you.
Yeah, men are genetically wired to like younger women because they produce, they give us the best possible offspring, possible for a healthy offspring. Because when it's all said and done, men want a healthy little version of themselves to carry on their legacy. It's just fact. There's no abundance of men out here saying that they want older women. And the evidence in that is you see a lot of single older women. Nobody's marrying them. So Mo said he wanted older women. He likes older women. There's plenty of them in the city. Why isn't he married to one of them? I always call bullshit when people have an option, but they don't take advantage of it, but they say they like that option. I can't tell you that I love to watch the Washington Redskins in person when I live next to the stadium and I won't even buy fucking tickets. It doesn't make sense. So, and to answer your question about what will women do when a wall hit, well, they're going to do the same thing they always do. Since they've used the government to replace men, they're going to lean heavily on the government. They're going to be remorseful and regretful, and on the precipice of their death, they're going to wish they would have chosen, you know, to get married, but they're going to use a husband, the government, to subsidize their life in place of a husband, because that's what the government is going to do. The government is always going to step in and save them, and that's the reason why they won't choose a husband. They know that they don't have to choose a husband because no matter what, the government's going to take money from men and subsidize their poor choices anyway. And make no mistake about it, they do make horrible choices. They have horrible spending habits. They're impulsive. And it's absolutely why they're struggling financially. You'll take a bitch who works at Walmart who makes, you know, $400 every 2 weeks. She'll spend $200 on that on getting her nails done and then wonder why she's always broke. So to answer your question, they're gonna do what they always done. They're going to lean on the government. They're going to be miserable, depressed, on drugs, alcoholics, and lean on the government.
Let me add one into the mix, though, Chris. Only until the government defaults, and then they're going to know what the truth is and the independence is.
The government's never
going to
default. The government's never going to default.
I'm praying they don't. You know what I mean? I hope and pray they don't default on no money. Cause, hell, that's what that yelling lady talking about now, the Treasury Secretary. Soon as they default,
no.
All hell going to break loose.
No, the government's not going to default. I mean, that's what a lot of red pill men think, that the government's going to default and women are just going to come running back. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to make them come running back. There's only one thing that will make them come back, and that's taking away their voting rights. Because they're the ones who are voting for everything that's destroying society now.
That's not true. Because
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It was actually, no, because our Congress.
Let her finish, Chris.
Our Congress was mostly made up of men. It wasn't until the last 10, 15 years you've seen an influx of women being voted in. And a lot of these laws that gave women a lot of rights and freedoms were passed into law by men, and that's even at the local, state, and federal level. So this is actually men who opened up a world for women to now actually not just see themselves as equal to men, but to try to function as equal to men.
And we've discussed that several times. We said that it's white men who keep having this Disney fairy tale of egalitarian societies with women. Even Joe's admitted that, and Joe's on the line. He can tell you that himself. And as far as women, you keep saying you want equality. What happened with this bill that would institute a draft for women? Who voted against that? Was it women or was it men? I'm pretty sure it was women who shot that down. See, that's why you don't deserve the right to vote, because you don't want the same right. You don't want the same responsibilities as men. You don't want to be held as accountable as men are. So you shouldn't enjoy the same privileges that we have. Repeal the fucking 19th and be done with it.
want to play a China.
How am I
is,
sounding?
You're in, Joe, loud and clear. I saw you come back in.
Am I okay? Because I was getting choppy. I had to call back in. Okay.
Okay. That you guys are on Blog Talk. You only have it by the phone, but I'm going to play a video. China is much more demanding in this area of telling women. They have the word Shen Nu, means leftover. So a woman hits 27, and that's what they consider her to be. And I'm going to play a video of this woman in China, and it's got subtitles. You guys won't be able to read it. Chris, you're on YouTube. I think Kendrick too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be able to watch it. This is really going to play kind of a reality of what it's like. So just to let you know, this woman is an attorney. So apparently she has a great career. And it's going to show her, it's a short clip, but it's going to show her going on dates and men telling her, you know, where they stand. But then when you see her with her family, that's where you're going to see the whole wall of feminism just crumble. So here you go. So she's with a matchmaker in China, and the matchmaker asked her, what kind of man would be a good match for you? And she says, just like here in the U.S., I have high standards. He must be well-educated. Most importantly, must respect women. And so she asks, have you been in relationships? She says, twice. And now the matchmaker says, sorry if I'm being too straightforward, and listen to what she's going to say. Letitia, I don't know if you laid out like this for your clients, but here's what this woman says, but you're not beautiful in the traditional sense. She said, I don't mean you're not pretty. I mean, you're not a beauty. And you've got to see this woman's face when she hears this. And then she lays the other bomb. And also, you're really old. And so the woman asks, I'm old? And she said, I think I'm at a good age. Matchmaker says, do you think you're at the perfect age for the marriage market? And the matchmaker lays the final nail, and you watch this woman's face go into, I don't know what it is, terror. She says, please don't think you're in a good position. She said, you might think you look young. She said, but you're fooling yourself. And man, you got to just see this woman's facial expression. It is like reality just smacked her hard.
See, that's what we were talking about.
First time I saw that video.
So now I think she's about to have dates. This says, in China, as a result of the one-child policy, there are millions more men than women. That they're not stating the whole thing. This video is from the New York Times. A lot of women aborted their daughters. That's why there are so many men. Same happened in India. So they have too many men because they aborted. They defied, attempted to defy nature. And actually, that's a good point. when we try to define nature, there's a price to pay. So parents over the past, I don't know, 30 years, aborted a bunch of daughters because fathers wanted sons. And now their sons can't find a wife because there are 30 million more men than women. So now the government is seeing family as a crucial for social stability, pressures single women. They're pressuring single women to get married now. I mean, if you think about it, if the women stop having children, then your country is significantly weakened. And weak countries sometimes are taken over by the barbarians. Letitia, you were going to say something?
I was going to say it's gotten so bad they instituted a government program where now they are paying young women and men to get married. They set up a government program.
Say what now?
And the men are still saying fuck that. The men are still saying fuck that. Let them bitches die alone.
Both of them are. Both the men and it's a problem with both men and women that are younger, the younger generation. And you're seeing that across all across the globe, where the younger generation just does not see any benefit in getting married. They're just choosing not to get married at that age.
From Vietnam, that some guys are actually bringing women in from other, like Vietnam and other Asian countries.
Not only that, Ted, but here's the difference between the young men and the young women. The young men aren't struggling financially. The young men aren't leaning on the government to help fund their lifestyle, because without the government, they'd be forced into prostitution.
Are you talking about the Chinese government or what government? Because young women...
All around the world.
Because here in America, how is the government funding a lifestyle unless you have children? The teen pregnancy rate has dropped.
You're joking, right?
The pregnancy rate
do I need to name all the benefits that women get? I don't know if you're stupid or if this is a joke.
No, let's not go to the ad hominem. That's completely unnecessary.
No, it's not an ad hominem. I'm really questioning your truth
right
now.
It is, too. Because
women,
you know, Chris,
let me explain to you. No,
so.
I think you – I don't know if you – like I said, I don't know if you're pretending or if you're actually just stupid.
Hold on, Chris.
But women
– Chris, hold on, Chris. Hey, Chris, hold on. She's going to say something about teen pregnancy, and I want to finish this video.
I was just going to say teen pregnancy rates have dropped. Pregnancy rates amongst 20-something-year-olds have dropped. The biggest amount of out-of-wedlock pregnancy rates are in the 40-something-year-olds. And that's what's going on. If they can't find a husband, they either get it by the time they get to that point, they check out of marriage, and they either buy a dog, cat, or they have their babies alone. And you're seeing the biggest influence of out-of-wedlock pregnancy, single mothers now, the trend has shifted from younger women to older women. Young women in the U.S. are not having babies like that. They're just not.
Actually,
and they don't have any government benefits they can lean on to subsidize or fund their lifestyles.
Well, now, hold on. You're really supporting the question for this show, when the wall calls, what will women do? So they're either marrying themselves, they're marrying their pet. I heard someone, I think Chris said, one woman married a goat. But the other solution to avoid being alone after the wall is to have a child. So this is what this is pointing to, is that when the wall does hit, women do not want to be alone, and they will do whatever they have to do to avoid that. And having children is one, it may appear to be a solution, but the children leave one day.
But in the meantime, Ted, who getting these women pregnant? Because everybody not blue pill. So we got to answer that, too.
Red pill men sniffing behind these skirts, too. Don't let them fool you.
Can I finish making my point now? She said the government isn't funding women. Women, that's a lie. They just came out with this bill they passed to give black women in Atlanta, black women, money just for existing. Not black men, not men, black women. Let's talk about Goldman Sachs. Let's talk about how even how everything is cheaper for a woman. Car insurance, even though despite women having more car accidents than men, their car insurance is cheaper. How does that make sense? They're worse drivers. I'll tell you how it makes sense. Because no matter what, men are the top earners, so they're going to tax men more to support, to subsidize women. So when you say how is the government?
Someone's microphone is brushing against their clothes, and it's very loud. So everyone go on mute except for Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
So when you say how is society and the government funding women, that's how. Because they make everything cheaper for women regardless of how bad of a decision it is, regardless of how bad a financial investment it is. That's how. And you can deny it all you want, but we can pull up the numbers. We can pull up the numbers. Numbers don't lie, neither do facts.
Okay. All right, I got it. I don't want to speak about too far off topic. One of the things that Letitia said is women are having kids as they get older. So, you know, on the other side of 40, especially after 45, it's a different reality, especially if they had kids that are older and have left homes. You even hear women who are empty nesters who are married going through kind of a withdrawal of what am I going to do with my life? My kids are leaving, and they're married. So imagine for the women who don't have a man at home, that never married, and the wall hits, and no
children. They've been wasting time, Ted. The clock been ticking, bro. I don't know what to tell them.
Right, Ted. They fought so hard to be like men, but what they don't understand is when it comes to solitude, a man can live a life of solitude and be perfectly fine, right? He can be happy. He can find, you know, he can go hunting. He can go fishing every day like you. He can go to the gym every day. He can do whatever he wants. That men can find things that make them happy. A woman's happiness is completely reliant on somebody else. They have to find, they have to get their happiness from somebody else. So when they're single and alone, it's not the same as men, but they've tried tried for decades to be just like men, and it's hurting them because they're going against their biological nature. Biologically, Mother Nature is going to sound sick, intended them to start giving birth of children around 12 or 13 when they start their periods. That was Mother Nature's sign to tell them, hey, you're ready to start having children, right? Now, it sounds sick to hear it, but I know, but it's true, you know? And then around 35 is when Mother Nature intended them for them to stop, because that's when, if you notice, that's when they age rapidly. And Mother Nature ages them because Mother Nature intends to make them unattractive to men, so men don't waste their time breeding with them, because men are still able to breed. That's why you see men, we have our testosterone, and I forget the other chemical in us that keeps us young, but that's why you see you take a 60-year-old man, you put him next to a 60-year-old woman, and they don't look the same age. The man still looks younger than her.
That's the truth, man.
Because society intended after 35, 40, for men to not be attracted to women anymore. And to make sure that happens, Mother Nature ages them rapidly. Women choose not to get married young, they're only hurting themselves.
All right, so men grow old gracefully. Women just grow old. That is true. It's interesting how nature will, according to Chris, will just come on in and say, okay, Chickie, you are no longer marriage material. You're no longer fertile. You're going to be taken out of the marketplace. We're going to age you even faster so that the older men can have the pick of the litter, and the younger, who well, what do the other guys say? The sexual market value. Yeah. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me finish this video here. It has a surprise ending. So this woman who has been told she's not as young and as pretty as she thinks is getting ready for a date. I guess they're doing, a documentary about dating life in China. So he did like a guy. He said, you look better than your photo, right? She says, share, thank you. So they, basically, they know where one another's from, and they're from the same part of China. And she knows that part of China, she calls those men male chauvinists. And he acknowledges that, but he has his own thoughts about that. Now, what's interesting is her parents are an example of a family that violated the one-child policy. So I think they had three daughters. They always wanted a son, but they kept trying, and I guess it didn't work. So she's the one who, I don't know if she's the youngest, but she's the one who went off to college and led the man life. And maybe the parents raised her to be that way. I don't know. We don't have that. It's not going to go that deep into it. So this is a whole scene of, I think it looks like speed dating. Quite a few people. It's outdoors. So they are getting down to it. What are you looking for? This is the guy who is from the same part of the country she's from, in Mass. She's in for another shot. She's talking about how that part of the country they're from is typical male chauvinist, and he says, yes, I know, my family's like that. And now she's asking, will you want to carry on that tradition?
延续这样的一种模式。
我觉得你要说就像你说的每个山东男生都有这种轻浮大男子主义，只是一个轻微程一个多少程度的一个东西、嗯、一个东西，就是我觉得我在未来的婚姻里面可能
Not very powerful on his part, but he said, yeah, I know it's male chauvinist. He said, in my marriage, I'm hoping to be dominant. And so another shocker for her. She's like, dominant.
我还是希望我要占主导地位的。整个家，对，整个家庭里边占主导地位。我并不是说你比如说扮演我手机什么，我电视什么情况，可能女生就不要过多的参考了，你只给我。
He's giving an example, like he said, as a woman, you don't have to give advice just to tell me what you need. And he's going to go on about, if I need to change cell phone providers, I don't want to have to talk to you about that. I'm just going to do it.
我提出你的需求就可以了，我来决定。当然了，能评论也好，但是我不希望这个女生比我强太多。很多东西你都一下子就这个女生就去做决定了。
He's like,I don't want a woman making decisions alone without me. So, you know, she wants to date. So apparently she's looking for something beyond just working every day. And she aged out, basically. She's in her 30s. Now she's headed home to the backwoods where her
family is. Mama, I want to get in your sock. Oh, you don't want to go.
You're a
lawyer? Yeah. You're a lawyer?
So now just family sitting around just chatting, and her father says you should consider getting married. He's like, you need to start to consider your future. And this is going to explode. Yeah, now the father's like, I'm worried. And she's like, you're worried, man. She's going to do the real, she's going to start out with the real I'm independent thing. And fathers, this is what I'm saying. In China, they don't have that, this is no political correctness. He's like, when people ask me about you, I don't know what to say. You know, the law says women should get married in their 20s. You're in your 30s. So Pops is laying it out, not pulling any punches here. And her retaliation is, I can date, but I don't want to get married. And you can imagine the family didn't want to hear, you're just out dating, you're just out opening your legs and not getting married. And Pop says, all that schooling makes you dumb. It made her dumb. Man. Father,
can I say something real quick, Ted?
Yes.
Regarding the father. You see the way the father is talking to her and the way he's handling her? American men are so pussy that they're scared of their daughters, so they'll never confront them like that. Really? Even though they know that her behavior is detrimental to her health. They're too pussy to stand up to her and tell her just like that, like that guy is.
But it's going to go, man, if you're on YouTube, you're going to see where this goes. And I think this is the mother's, like, you're highly educated and you don't want someone with a low social status. Oh, man, the father, he's brutal. The father said the ones with high social status wouldn't show interest in you. I mean, the father's just like not holding back at all. He's like the dating coach.
He ain't lying, though, T.
And she's sitting here listening to this. And, you know, she's way out in the wilderness. Not like she can just run away now. Yeah, now, and her sisters are there. I have to look, maybe the grandmother, but I think it's the just her immediate family. And they're like, you have a steady job, you should consider getting married. Yeah, now she's saying, I did consider it. I decided to remain single. She's trying to defend herself, but... And there's where mom jumps in. You don't care. You only do whatever you want. Wow, there's a sister. Dad and mom never worry about me or the others. You're the only one we worry about. Father, you got to see this guy's body language. Like, he's like, why are you doing this? If you're on YouTube and you see her face now, her if she was a defense attorney, her whole defense just fell apart. He said, you listened to me when you were a kid at school. Now you don't. And here's the sister dropping it. The title of the topic of the show comes back. How will your life look when you're 35 to 45 years old? Like, it seems like we don't really push this kind of thinking, of long-term thinking. I mean, we all know China makes 100-year plans, so they're thinking beyond just the microwave, feel good at the moment. So they're asking her these questions. What's the future like? It's like this is the sister now. Imagine being 45 to 55. Now they're saying our other sisters and I worry about you too. So, you know, the family's really taking a stand. And if you see on YouTube, you see the tears starting to come out of her eyes now. And this is what I was just saying a few minutes ago about they're asking, who's going to take care of you if you get sick? Something happens. And that's what I was saying. Like, these women who are begging their nieces to come help me and look out for me, because that is nothing.
Yeah, Ted, there's one part of the video that I don't know if you really paid attention in the beginning, where she said she hated going to her family's house because they always reminded her that she should be married and blah 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 blah. Right. What she hated was it was true. She hated facing the truth. Because right. As long as she stayed home, she got to live in her feminist bullshit utopia that did nothing but encourage and promote her lies. You know, the lies that's been said to her. And she was safe. But when she went to her home where there was a traditional father in the household, he was going to hit her with reality.
Right. She can't hide, and that's why I was saying she's so far out, she can't even run. She can't even run from this.
Treated the same way with those folks.
Kendrick, you got to say it quickly. What is it you want to say?
I was saying it the same way with those hoarders, Ted. Who you know gonna deal with a hoarder?
Oh,
who you know gonna marry today?
Right. I mean, yes, but that we're not, listen, we're not talking about crackheads and heroin addicts and strippers here. We're talking about just women, not women who are, I don't even want to forget those women. That's not for this conversation.
A hoarder is a person that set up here and that didn't collect trash. That's what these women here, when they set up here and wait to the last minute.
I understand, but listen, there are women who are being tricked out of, they don't have a family like this who's standing up for them. So I don't know if this woman here is being a whore. I don't know. Maybe she is. Maybe she's not. I don't know.
I said a hoarder. I ain't saying a whore. I said a
hoarder. What do you mean by a hoarder? I don't understand.
Ain't no man go. I can compare her feminism BS to a hoarder. You done lived like Chris said. You lived in this feminism utopia all this time, and now it's crashing and burning around you. What man, sane, logical, and rational is gonna deal with it? That's what I was saying.
That's the point of the show tonight, is the wall, right? So that the wall hits where you're not as valuable in the marketplace, especially if a man wants to have children. Now, there are guys who are outliers who want a woman who's older. They're not thinking about children. Maybe they already had them. They're divorced or a single, you know, just a single guy with children. But that's not the majority of men, especially this woman. Like her father said, you want a man of high social status. Those men are not even interested in you. She lost her window. And just as the dating coach said, you're not as pretty as you think you are. So she's got some delusion going on, and this is China. And I would say the delusion is worse in the U.S. than it is in China. At least, like Chris said, she's got a father who's a traditional father who lays it down without fear. And then
here she is the buck wild of the family.
I don't know that. I'm not going to say that because I don't know that. But I get your
but
point.
But delusion. You know what I'm saying? That devil, my stance, you know. Hey, she done missed that wonder kid. That's the delusion here in the United States with the high economic social status, man. He don't want that.
Right. Exactly. And one of her sisters says, it's tiring to start a family, but who doesn't want one? And you're just watching this woman's whole world fall apart in front of her family. Her only defense, with tears all over her face, is, I'm not saying I want to stay single forever, but I don't really mind. And this is the problem, right? So when the wall calls, there are too many women saying, well, I don't mind, I'll be fine. Listen, women suffer more from anxiety and depression, insomnia, eating disorders, way more than men, and that's only because of the way their brain works. Their brain makes problems when there are none. And when they do have problems, they make the problems worse than they actually are. And this is why women attempt suicide so much more than men. It's their cry for help. So women just being alone, they're going to create so many problems in their head. Their life is going to be worse than it actually is. So they don't want to be that way. Now she's saying she doesn't want to get married. And you keep worrying about it. So... Coming to a close, she said, you say seeing your child growing up makes you happy? She said, that's bullshit. After all, I don't bring you any happiness, do I? I think we're going to go to dead silence now. And that's all, folks, for that. Like, a bleep, that's all, folks. Hey, Imperator, you're in the house. Good to see you. Yeah, I like what Chris said. A cruel trick. They played a cruel trick, a very cruel joke on women. Very much.
They didn't, back then, you know, when feminism first started, it was just lesbians trying to get women to hate men so that they could have more dating options. Because back then it was unheard of. Women weren't oppressed. But lesbians didn't have dating options, and they wanted. They knew that being a lesbian was considered a mental illness, and women didn't want to wear that stigma. Not only that, but they weren't attracted to women.
Well, Chris, the thing they were looking for, and most people don't realize, is they wanted the benefits of marriage. See, if you looked at two gay men, they could just live together. Like the director of the FBI, Hoover, had a live-in guy, and they just lived their life that way. But Hoover made plenty of money. So women who wanted to do that were not making sufficient enough money, and women didn't want to go out and start their own businesses or find the women who have money and get them to invest. So what they did is they begged men for jobs and to pay them more. So and so once they could get the economics, then they could get married. So Obama gave them that. That's what they were fighting for. They didn't have enough women. There were not enough lesbian women to push that law. So what they did is they told all women, you're getting screwed. And if you support us, you'll benefit. But they didn't tell them really that they were just looking for gay marriage. That's what the whole thing was about back in the 60s.
Right. And we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. I'm going to stay on topic. But, yeah, they don't realize, you know, the feminism has told them that they can compete with men and they can do anything a man can do, so why should you need a man? Well, they don't realize that, yeah, you can still garner attention from men and keep that silly mindset going while you're in your early 20s, your mid-20s, your late 20s. But once you hit 30, now you're not getting any privileges anymore. You're not getting into the club free. You're not jumping line ahead of everybody else. You're told to wait in line like everybody else, to pay like everybody else. Those free drinks stop coming. Now you're faced with reality that you missed your bus. You missed your boat. You could have been, you know, married and had a husband take care of you, but now all the men, the pool of men that you had available to you is drying up. And by 35, usually it's gone.
Well,
there's no man that wakes up in the morning and says, I sure would love some 35-year-old pussy.
Right. And that's a delusion, Chris. That's what they can find out.
So I want to do another screen share. This is another in China. These seven girlfriends bought a mansion so they can retire and live together. This was July of 2019. Not going to read the whole thing, but it's while most of us could only dream of living in a mansion, a group of friends in China just made it their reality. It all started out as a joke. In 2008, seven friends gathered and said that they would live the retired life together when they turned 60. Back then, no one took it seriously. The statement was all made in good fun. Fast forward a decade later, the friendship fantasy became a reality. Using their pooled money, the girlfriends built their 7,535 square foot retirement home in a quaint rural village roughly 70 kilometers away from Guangzhou city center. The beautiful mansion has a large communal space on the ground floor and seven rooms for each of the ladies on the floors above. The women, who are all in their 30s, met at work and have been best friends ever since. We've known each other for over 20 years. We were colleagues, and sometimes we were even closer than siblings. This was their solution. So, you know, answering the question, what will women do when the wall calls? This is what some of them are doing. They're just going to come together as women. But this is another example of, they don't want to be alone.
I don't know what to tell them, I mean, kid. All I can remember about is Skid Row. That's the only other option.
You can tell they don't want to be alone because of the – look at the amount of them that are on social media. So when they don't have men around, because deep down inside, they all want men, right? They want men to unload. They just want men to talk to, if nothing else, right? Because they get bored. They're social creatures, and they get very lonely when they're by themselves. So they just want to talk to men. I don't care how many women they talk to and how much they deny it, they want to talk to men, even lesbians, right? And you can tell that by, look at every month or every year, it seems like a new form of social media is popping up to where it's just women going on there, and social media has become their outlet or their way to get to talk to a bunch of men, and it's like their form of therapy now because they can't cope with the horrible decisions that they made is making men not want to talk to them. They have to go to TikTok, to YouTube, to what's that thing that you go on now?
IG, Instagram.
Not Instagram, the other one, the new one.
Oh, Clubhouse.
Where it's just Clubhouse, yeah. They just want to talk to men, but at the same time, you know, they keep telling everybody that, you know, they don't want to get married. Bullshit. You want to get married and you miss the company of men. But what it is men don't miss your company because you're so unruly and uncouth. Men don't want to be around you anymore. They'll talk to you because they're trying to get you to change.
Hold on. Hey, Letitia, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. So didn't the women boycott men on Clubhouse and were not going to join the men's conversations anymore? Wasn't there something like that occurred?
Correct.
Did the women still want to go in and hear what men were saying?
Not for the most part, no.
Were there women who still wanted to go in and listen to what men were saying?
Not for the most part, no. The boycott has been actually...
I didn't ask for the most part. I'm asking, were there women who still wanted to go in and listen?
Oh, yes, who still wanted to go in and participate in the conversations, yes.
Yes, that's what I was... Yeah, so they still...
Called it.
...hear what men are saying.
See, no matter how much they claim to hate us, they can't live without us. We can live without them, and we'll be just fine. They need us. We don't need them.
That's not true.
We don't need you. We only need you for reproduction.
The men have shown.
We only need you for reproduction.
Wait, let her go.
The men have shown they're very, very frustrated, and there has been a dynamic shift in the conversations where the rooms aren't growing as big as they used to be. The hallway, the conversations aren't as salacious as they used to be. They're not as triggering as they used to be. So the men do want the women to engage in those conversations because they know and understand that men, for the most part, aren't listening and aren't supporting. Women are the ones who listen. Women are the ones who do the supporting. So for them to have a platform, they have to have the women in there. So, you know, they're listening.
What supporting are women doing? Please tell me.
I just said they're the ones who are going into the rooms, helping facilitate these conversations, getting the audience engagement up, moving the dialogue along.
No.
I'm sorry.
What
you want to clap out?
Chris, let her finish. Let her just finish what she was saying. Let her answer your question. Go ahead.
So the women in the rooms, they're facilitating the conversation, they're helping to move the dialogue along, facilitating the conversation. And, yes, they are the entertainment factor. They're the reason why other men are coming into the room, and the rooms are very, very large. They're wanting to see the mudslinging, the paint being thrown at the wall or whatever you want to call it. But there's been a significant, since the women have boycotted and stayed out of these spaces, there's been a significant shift in these rooms that are led by men. And most of the rooms on Clubhouse have been led by men.
Why do you think most of the rooms are led by men?
Okay, well, so when it comes to the relationship conversations, they were the ones who took a lot of interest in those conversations. They're the ones who had something to say. I think for women, it's harder for us to have that conversation of, like, holding each other's feet to the fire. That's a much more difficult conversation to have than to have than for, like, the men having conversations where, you know, let's hold the women's feet to the fire. And the women just aren't really interested that much in talking about the men. And in, it's just, it's been a mixed bag as to why it's been male. It's Clubhouse is starting to become a male-dominated, male-centered space. It used to be a mixture earlier in Clubhouse when I was first on. A lot of women were leading conversations.
You're going in a slightly different direction. Do you think men just want to correct the situation? That's why they're putting themselves on the table. But do women understand that if they never hear what men are thinking, they'll be clueless about what men want? Do women understand that?
Yes, but unfortunately, in these conversations, you don't get a lot of what men actually want. And when that question is actually asked, you don't get a clear definitive answer. So then it just came out like, look, you just want to vent. Okay. We don't want to partake in these conversations anymore because we're getting disrespected in them during them. So.
No, men tell you what we want all the time. You just take it as disrespect because you're incapable of giving it to us.
Here's what I want to do. I'm going to play. This is where it all started. Back in 1976, they asked women about gender equality and what they thought of it. So this, we're going to see a clear leap. What is that? 45 years? Yeah, we're right at the 45-year mark from 1976. So 45 years ago. Now, even though this is in Great Britain, U.S. culture is based on Great Britain. The Puritans came there from here. We speak English, so they may not be as, I know Myth Twist says that we're more feminist here in the U.S. than they are in the U.K. But let's see what the women had to say back in 1976 about gender equality.
How does International Women's Day mean to you?
Why don't you like it?
I'd rather be the way I am. I like to be out of my husband's
stuff. I reckon the man should wear the pants, you know. He should sort of be the boss of the family, you know. I'd rather him go out to work and earn the money than me go out and earn the money and look after the kids, you know. But, oh, I sort of don't believe in it.
What does International Women's Day mean to you?
Nothing at all. Nothing.
Has women's liberation affected your life at all?
No. I don't believe in it.
Why not?
I don't know, but no opinions on it.
Have you resisted it?
No.
You ever read anything about women's liberation?
No.
What does International Women's
Year
mean to you?
I'm afraid not very much, really. I'm a bit old to be worried, you know.
Do you ever think about women's liberation?
I don't, tell you the honest truth, no.
What do you think of those women like Jermaine Greer?
Oh, if they want to do their own thing, let them do it. That's what I say.
You don't feel the need for a change in your way of life?
No, I'm quite happy.
Do you think women's liberation is a bad thing?
Oh, I don't know. I don't understand it, really. I'm inclined to think they can overdo all these things, really, don't you?
What areas? What about equal job opportunity and equal pay and that sort of issue?
Yes, no, I don't quite go with it. I'm afraid I'm old-fashioned, really. I think the man is the important one, the dogs and the hay and that sort of thing, isn't you, maybe?
I think possibly I'm like a lot of women and depend a lot on husband, you know, on the male race, I guess. And I consider it a bad woman. She's a woman who does what she wants to do, thinks for herself, lives as she wishes, and is dominated by male thinking. Also, particularly, of course, in the industry, any type of man. But do you think women's liberation is a good thing? I'm very skeptical about some of the extremist characters. I think women are in great danger of being dominated by women.
Ooh. Hear that? She said, I think women are in danger of being dominated by women.
Being told to liberate themselves by doing what other women being told to liberate themselves by doing what other women want them to do. It's to me the great danger.
Will you be doing anything to participate in International Women's Year?
Not particularly. Because I think that in a way, it's too much male, but it should be just accepted. Women are becoming far too dominant, so they're end up being very savage.
So, very interesting. And you know, we've been hearing how oppressed women have been, but I didn't get the impression any of those women were oppressed. However, I'm sure women today will say that they were just traumatized by patriarchy and they were brainwashed to say that, but maybe that's not what women would say. What do you think, that Letitia, did you hear all of that?
I couldn't quite understand all of what was being said, but it's interesting to have that conversation with women who do believe that women are still oppressed, and that the patriarchy should fall. Yeah, that's a very interesting conversation.
Because
their answers are always dismantled, but they don't want to believe it. Like their argument is so flawed. If you ask them, how are women oppressed? And they always give the argument, well, women make less than men. Well, we put that to the test. There was a woman who was saying that she made less than other men in her department. She works in education, and she was saying these were white men. And it turns out, though, there is a black man who makes the same, who does the same work as her, but he makes less than her. And she was stumped at that. Because her argument was, I do the same work, if not more, more tenure, more seniority, or the same tenure, same seniority, and they make more than me. These men make more than me. They make more than me because they're a man. And then at the end of the argument, the very end, she let it be known that the person who actually makes less is a black man. Engaging argument to have.
Interesting. So I want to now,
but you do know that the problem is not just with female feminists. Like, majority of men have feminist mindsets too, and it makes it very difficult to get women to see where they're going wrong when you have so many men who are in their own way and inadvertently upholding feminist ideology.
They are feminists. It's not that they're upholding it. They are feminists.
Not me to you.
No, we understand that, but that's not what she just said. She wasn't talking about you personally. She said the problem is there are too many men who are feminists. And so when the women hear these other men who are feminists, they believe they have a foot to stand on.
Well, let me ask you this then. How would you go about trying to unbrainwash these so-called male feminists then?
So,
if they the problem.
So think about what I said to Chris. See, everyone keeps saying it's a lost cause and you can do nothing about it. But I just showed a video from 1976, and that video showed that women were not thinking about gender equality. Now, clearly, they didn't show a video of interviewing, you know, 20,000 women, which would have been a better sample, but you heard the mindset of women during that time, and it would have been very possible to find a mirror image of that mindset here in the United States in 1976. So how we got to where we are isn't because the majority, 80% of women, started saying we don't need men. It was a very tiny percentage, and they were not even heterosexual women. So if you can think that a tiny percentage, probably not even 1% of women, started this, and all they literally did was create new conversations and get people, both men and women, to buy into it. Tell me why you cannot reverse the conversation. There are women out there who stand by men. And let's just say, for an example, women said, hey, you know what? We're going to pack up and leave and go to our own island. I promise you, there are 108 million adult females in the United States, a little over 108 million. I promise you 108 million women are not going. I don't know what the percentage would be, maybe not even 50%, but let's just say
it's going to be a very high percentage. And the ones who will give it a chance, they'll be back.
Well, what I would say is most women wouldn't want to go because they understand that they would be back. So they would just save face and not go. But what I was really getting at is there's a percentage of women who wouldn't even consider going. And a lot of guys don't know who those women are, because when they do speak up, other women shut them down. So there's where the problem is, Kendrick. So it's hard for you to know who those women are who are not feminists. Even though they've been exposed to it, they might inadvertently promote feminism without, you know, knowing it. But there are too many women. A lot of them may be married. Some of them want to be married. And you don't know who they are. Because if they do speak up, they get called pick-me's and they get all kinds of crazy things. So...
Even
men may put them down and tell them they're just oppressed.
Well, let me pose this question to you, to you and Letitia. I'm gonna shut up. Well, so because I heard you mention some of the lesbians. So you think that's one of the big proponents to this feminism foolishness we got out here that was pushing it? Do you think otherwise?
No, I told you. I said to Chris, Chris didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. That's who started.
I need to go down that rabbit hole because I need to know what's going on.
I answered that. They wanted gay marriage. That's what they wanted.
Right. No, I didn't want to go down a rabbit hole because I didn't want to break the topic.
No, but Chris, that you're on point with that, right? So what I'm saying to Kendrick is I actually addressed that already. So we don't need to go back down that. It's they didn't have enough numbers to get lesbian marriage. They wanted the benefits of, but before they could even have marriage, they needed the economics of marriage, which meant higher salaries. That's what this was really all about. And it's been irresponsible. They didn't consider the impact they were going to have on heterosexual women, and they've done nothing to clean that up and tell these women, look, this is all we wanted. We got what we wanted, but they haven't done any of that. And so if we get back to the wall being hit, we saw what in China, how, you know, women are still want to be with someone. And in China, there's a concern, look, you need to start having babies, because that's going to hurt the country in the future. Well, in the U.S., this whole thing of the wall is impacting this notion of abortion. Like, they don't want women getting all these abortions because it It will shrink parts of the population that they don't want to shrink. Because they're not replacing the people that are dying. So if five people die a day, they're only having four babies or three babies. So that means your population is shrinking. That sets your country up for things you don't want.
Yeah, the birth rates are falling across the board.
Of course. Well, not for the Hispanic community.
Yeah, not for Hispanics, because they're still getting married. They're still having children. They're still remaining traditional to their family values.
And I would wonder for the Middle Eastern. The Islamic community is probably still having children also.
All the ethnicities that remain with a patriarchal mindset are not failing. It's only black and white, which the whites encourage the black woman to do it, which in turn empower the white woman to do it. So it's like a secular thing with them. So, yeah.
It's mostly because the laws they have in place, but the more Eastern, Middle Eastern countries become a little more progressive and laxing their laws, and you're seeing the same problem with them. If you go into the conversations that the Middle Easterns are having, I mean, I have North Africans and Middle Easterners coming to me and saying, can you come into our room and talk to our women? Can you have conversations with our women? Because even now, their women, with the growth of social media and television, they're starting to have issues as well. So.
You know, everybody, we all watch these movies, right? And we all see, like, zombie movies. Zombie movies are the most prevalent in the horror genre, right? And what we see is infections slowly breaking out and causing, you know, worldwide epidemics and, you know, mass deaths and everything. Well, we have that going on in society right now. It's called feminism. And you don't need to be bitten by another feminist, you know, to get it. All you have to do is just listen to their bullshit, be indoctrinated in it, and now you're just another fucking zombie.
I like that, Chris. What about you, then?
So I played a video of women who said they didn't believe in this whole gender equality. Now I'm going to play a video of a woman who is 42, and she's going to give you her perspective of the wall. And so as a man, women can deny all the things I say and say I'm just talking nonsense, or they could say Letitia's a pick-me, and they could say I'm he-man, woman-hater. So I played some Asia, and we see how that's playing out. But now let's come back home to the U.S. and hear what this woman has to say.
Women, friends, and foes, my name is Jennifer Mosky. This is my YouTube channel. As I said, today we're going to talk about the wall, because I am celebrating my 17th anniversary of hitting the wall, because I'm 42. The reason I'm saying 25 years old is because I did a video. Well, no, I attract a lot of a certain type of thinking person to my channel, and many of them have said that the wall is 25, so I'm using that, okay? If this is your first time here, welcome. If you are a repeat viewer, thank you so much. Welcome back. Tomorrow, I will be doing a video commenting on the comments that you give me today. Because I have a lot of comments, at the end, I will give a secret word that you have to use anywhere in your comment in order for me to consider conversing with you. You can comment, or you can do an ask me anything. If you have any questions about my experience with the wall, I will, if I answer you, I will be transparent and I will be honest. Okay, so let's start. So So first, it would be helpful to talk about what is the wall. The most pointed and important definition of the wall is the point of no return for the ability to create children of your own. Healthy children with a healthy man in a healthy way. The biological wall is real, and women walk up to it faster and hit it harder because of our biology. We just can't make babies, healthy babies, after a certain point. Is that fair? I don't know. I don't care very much. The wall can be a great tool for those women who use it correctly. For those women who realize that while it might feel like you're slowly walking to the wall, it is there and it is near. I think of the side mirrors where it said objects in mirror are closer than they appear. Like you're projecting out into a future. So any woman who realizes that there is a wall and can accept it can accomplish the things that they need accomplishing before they hit the wall. So because of this, women face pressure to get their act together faster than men. And is that so bad? I don't know. This life has rules, just like any game, just like chess. If you learn the rules and you learn the odds, you can learn how to play better, and then you can win, or at least have a good competition, okay? So if you want a family, I'd like to encourage you to start. Don't postpone. Get going. Your biology has a wall. The only thing in contemporary time, I think, that really prevents women from creating a family before the wall hits them is they choose to focus and chase education, whose efficacy is scant anymore, or employment, which you have to do to pay for your shitty college education. Your education and career doesn't have a wall.
And Chris, that you were saying that a lot of women come with debt now. So, and sometimes yeah. That is astronomical, right? They go to law school and they owe a couple of $100,000, sometimes a $200,000. So that also makes a woman less desirable. And if she's hit the wall, it's just even more.
Well, the reason why it makes them undesirable is because as men, we know after they have children, after so many years, they're going to get burnt out and they're going to want to stop working. But once they stop working, their bills become our bills.
Exactly.
Now we're stuck paying $100,000 bill we didn't create. And then as soon as that bill is paid off, we've seen these stories of these women that divorce their husbands the minute their student loan debt is paid off. And by then, that man hit his peak earning potential. So not only did he hit his peak earning potential, but he also cleared a debt. And for her. So once he did that, now he just maximized the amount of money she can get from him in divorce and cleared all her debts at the same time. So she gets to walk away in the green while he goes severely into the red.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
And go ahead, Kendrick.
I was just agreeing with both of you gentlemen. That's a real cliche thing that's being talked about, what Chris just said, Ted. And as a young dude, that's scared of a young man. I got to listen to what the older cat's telling me. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of dudes doing there.
Okay, good, good. So there's another aspect, and I'm going to let this woman talk more. But when capital is in the hands of men do several things. They have their families, and they make sure their community is safe for their family. So crime is lower. They invest in the community, whether it's the school, whether it's a nonprofit that their wife or the women in the community are part of. They help finance it. They start jobs so other men in the community can work. But men build communities. They make sure they're safer. They invest in their communities, and their communities thrive as a result. And women don't see capital that way. So the man gets money. He finds a wife so he can have a child. He wants his wife. He picks the best woman who's going to prepare those children for life. And he moves forward so that he has something to leave back behind for his children, generational wealth. And women, you give them the capital, they don't want a man. They don't want unemployed men. They want a man who has more. So they're not building a community, or they don't need a man at all. And as we're talking here, they let the wall hit. And then they realize that they may have made a poor decision. You know, women are not building communities. They do not invest in communities the way men do. And a community means men and women, boys and girls, not just women. So this is a dismantling of community, and we're watching it happen right before our eyes.
It doesn't have a biological wall. There will always be competition, but competition isn't a wall. So know the difference, okay? But where do you want to utilize your youthful weaponry, and in what competition? In the career field or the academic landscape? Or do you want it maybe, I don't know, for finding the best man to be the best father to your children and most suitable husband for you for the rest of your life? You have to choose. Many women want children. Many women who want children regret choosing career and delaying family making because many of them don't get the option once the time is up. You have expectations when you're young, right? We all do. That can probably be fulfilled, but where do you apply them? What do you really want fulfilled? As you get older, if you hold on to those same expectations, they're less likely to be fulfilled. So many women become accustomed to attention from men and society, the looks, the choices, the cuddles, right, when they're children. And they think it's like a ground-fed spring, an oil reserve. It is just abundant and never-ending. But truthfully, that diminishes with the wall. And couple that, quite simple and obvious expiration date, apply that to the very real problem of achievement competition in couples and how that lessens the possibility of meeting your expectations. Meaning, as we'll discuss later in a different context, people want to be around people who are similar. Birds of a feather get flocked together, right? So let's look at that in morals and values. For example, so if your values have been academic achievement, that can turn into career achievement, which often translates to financial achievement. Then if we apply that, if we apply the birds of a feather flock together, you've catapulted yourself into a land of very high expectations. Now, not only do you want a family, but you want a partner who is just as educated, who makes just as much money, who is as qualified for you as possible. But the top is lonely, right? As they say. Because now with your added qualifiers, those men who could make the cut, according to you, also, excuse me, also have choices, and a lot of them. I'm going to be rude. I know it seems crazy that there are men in their right mind who wouldn't choose you, a highly successful, career-driven, achievement-oriented, business-savvy woman who is independent and achievement-oriented. But think about that through a family-oriented lens. For family, those traits are not highly desirable. For hiring in business, yeah, of course, yes. But men who also want a family want to provide for that family and know that their family is safe in mom's care.
So Letitia, where she's going to go here is what I was talking about. Like, it's great if a woman is educated, she has some specialized knowledge, but how is she as a human being, as a wife and as a mother? A lot of women believe having a degree is something that's just transferable and you're just smart enough to do everything else. I mean, this is actually one of the problems that doctors and lawyers have. So, and doctors are probably the worst. Doctors believe because they're educated and they're smart and they know their craft as a medical professional, they believe that qualifies them to run businesses. And doctors usually do a horrible job at running businesses, and it's because they're incompetent about running businesses. They learned about medicine, the medical profession. They didn't learn about running businesses, and this is a problem. The same exact thing happens to lawyers. They both believe their specialized knowledge just automatically transfers over to everything else, and they're smart. And there are lots of law firms and lots of doctors that fail because those skills do not transfer. It's different and it's specialized. So what I'm saying is we're not educating many women about, you know, girls and women about being a wife. We believe that the education system is taking care of that, and it doesn't. Just like medical school doesn't take care of being a business person. Lots of doctors just go work for a hospital, and they don't have to worry about the business side of it. So this is the dilemma women get into. So I'm going to let her say more.
Question. How safe are the children when mom's not at home? How safe is a family when the mom's priority is her career and not her family? And how safe is the man, her partner, knowing that his wife is in competition with him, in career competition, in achievement competition? Many men want a woman who can offer a happy and healthy and orderly home life. So when a woman chooses that direction, then she can more easily find a partner who will choose to commit to her and their future, the family, because they're prioritizing that together. That is fulfilling for a man and the woman and the children, which is most important. So what kind of a woman are you? I'm sorry, but it's helpful to know well and to know fast. I said that contemporarily, that the only thing that would hold you back is education and career from creating a family. But also it's choosing bad men. So don't waste your precious time being cavalier about the men you choose. Don't.
This is what you talk about often, Kendrick, is women who use their youth to choose the wrong men. And then the wall hits. So it's the same thing. Poor choices.
That's why you have more crime in matriarchal societies, because women fetishize bad boys. Whereas men, we don't. We want order, and we know the bad boys don't bring order.
Right.
Don't waste your precious time with silly men or frivolous relationships or formal education. Woo! For God's sake, take advantage of the age we live in. Information is abundant. I don't know. I think you should be an autodidact. But again, if really you want a family, stop wasting your time. If you want kids, the wall should be respected. You don't have to love the wall, but you should respect it and acknowledge it.
And that's really the bottom line. There are women out there who believe that there are exceptions to the rule. I mean, if anyone has seen a recent picture of Janet Jackson, it's bad. Actually, I used her picture in Facebook, and it's bad.
It's bad. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. Well, even Halle Berry. Look at Halle Berry. Halle Berry's not as attractive as she was, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, she didn't hit the wall as bad as Janet Jackson, but she still hit the wall.
Well, what was her name? She played in Kill Bill.
Uma Thurman.
Vivica Fox.
Oh, Vivica Fox. Oh, yeah.
Vivica Fox was always hotter than Halle Berry to me, and she's a train wreck right now.
Yeah.
Because
she's trying to blame the fact that she couldn't have children or get a husband on men when she was choosing to date. She was dating a man that wanted to marry her, and she kicked him to the curb to date rappers.
She was just flat out promiscuous. She was just sleeping with anyone who gave her attention. She admits that, and she's blown up. I mean, I thought she was really sexy. I thought she was better in terms of looks than Halle Berry, and she just squandered all of that. Like, she's a perfect example of what happens when you squander your youth. And hopefully women are seeing this.
Ain't nobody fault but their own kids.
As I said before on a previous show, they don't care. They only understand immediate consequences. They don't look, they can't see the forest for the trees. They only understand if something happens to them immediately, if they suffer something immediately. They don't have the wherewithal. That's why I laugh when they talk about women's intuition, because they don't have it. But they said they're telling you that they do.
So someone recently said to me about women's intuition, and I said, well, if it was effective, there'd be a 0% divorce rate. She went to silence from there. So.
Yes, it did, because you can tell the truth.
I think someone wants to, I got a guy, hold on, I got a guy on IG. I brought him in live. He's got some things to say. go ahead, man. What's up? What's going on, man? Hold on. Let me make sure I got you up. All right, but do you remember what question I asked you?
What did you want me to do?
I know. It went in several directions, but my specific question was, what specifically did she do to help him? And you went into tangents and said I was being red pill, and you told me how I was given red pill propaganda and all this, and I kept asking you, what specifically did she do to help him? And finally, at the end, I think you told me, but it took a long time to get you there. Wait, which country? Where are you at? Which country are you in?
I'm from the UK. I live in London.
Okay. Hey, Miss Twist, you still here? Well, go ahead. So I've got another guy from London who checks me out. I know you've been kind of bashing me over there on IG, but that's okay. It's cool. I still love you, man. Look, you see, I didn't run from you. I brought you right in, right? All right.
That's what I'm
saying. So you know, I honestly asked you, what did she specifically do? Because I didn't know. I didn't see the documentary. So I wanted to understand. Now, if she negotiated his shipping costs, that's a big deal, because his business dealt, you know, it was relying on that. So I understand that. But it took me a long time to get you there. You wanted to arm wrestle. I guess you wanted to bring smoke for whatever reason. I mean, you're cool with me, man. Hey, wait. I got another guy from the UK, but he's on YouTube. He said he can barely hear you, so I don't know if you can get louder or closer or something. You understand? I can hear you clearly, but hey, Miss Twist, jump in. I dropped the link. Wait, put your mic closer to your mouth.
You know who Gordon Ramsay is, right?
No. Who is it?
Gordon Ramsay, the celebrity chef. You don't know who he is?
No, I don't.
So,
Okay.
So if you look at his background, he came from tough times. He grew up in some of the shitty parts of England. Worked his way up to a restaurant, and then he wanted to go out on his own. Now, he comes from a very poor family. His wife and his in-laws are the ones that have come from money. It was his father-in-law that put the money first restaurant, and that's how it became success, and then it's all went on to death.
Right.
They get divorced. I'll say that she deserves a certain amount of money. And then he makes, like, I used to try anything like that. No, she deserves a bloody penny.
All right. So anyone who knows me and has listened to me, here's what they will know. I will tell you about women I've seen with my own eyes who the husband, I worked for a consulting firm, and the president of the firm had a wife who was a soccer mom. She stayed home. She took care of the son, house. She would network with the other soccer moms and find out which other women were married to successful men. And she got deals. I mean, we're talking bucks. Major money. So as a networker, and I know there are a lot of women who do that and do it well, and that man's success is partly predicated on, but she had to know what he did. He had to be good at what he did, and she had to be committed to that relationship. This is like divorce is irrelevant. Like we're working together, right? So I've seen that. Just the percentage of women that do that is small. And there are a lot of women, when I talked to them about it, they said they never heard of this before. So they didn't even know it was possible to be an asset like that. Because if I ask women, tell me, if this is a liability, liabilities take money off the table, assets put money on the table, how are you an asset to a man? And most women can't answer that. They start talking about I'm nurturing and I'll be his cheerleader and all like that. No, how are you an asset? So when a woman is an asset, I acknowledge that. I talked about IQ. I talked about, you know, these are things. I said things that if you were not smart, you wouldn't have even understood that I insulted you. So. I'm saying let's look at the facts, right? So I don't want to give a lot of opinion. Here are the facts, right? And I'll let experts speak. I read articles. I read studies. I read, you know, all kinds of research so that we can get the facts, and then we can talk about that from there. But like, and I'm playing a woman who's talking about, she's 42. She's hit the wall, never married, no children. And she's saying to women, acknowledge and respect the wall. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, like a lot of these women, you know, they're either shield or they've got a, you know, there's very few genuine women in this space, in my opinion.
Correct.
If I'm going to be honest.
Correct.
Because, you know, like, again, you know, it's just, like, most, no, they're even moderately attractive. Let's be real. Most of the dudes in the Red Bull space are either struggling to get women, or they are basically just being insulted, if we're going to be honest. If we're going to be completely honest, a lot of the dudes who are in this space are just struggling hard with women.
Hey, let me ask you, will you come over into YouTube? I dropped the link. Will you do that?
Yeah, why not?
Come over into YouTube. Hey, Miss Twist, could you hear him at all?
Yeah,
He was choppy, kid.
I could a bit, but like not as much.
All right, okay. Yeah, I dropped the link. I dropped the link. I'll drop it again. Just drop into YouTube. So, hey, Miss Twist, I think he, because he was writing a lot of stuff. He was talking a lot of trash about me. He was typing it. But when I let him in, I think he had just a different attitude towards me.
Well, I don't get what the...
he didn't want to smoke.
He's just saying that... Well, like women can be assets or something. I mean,
no,
I don't think
he was trying to defend. I dropped a post in Instagram saying that I showed like I think Jeff Bezos, Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates, and the joke was these are all starter wives, and these are the women who said I only married for love, right? I only married for love starter wife was the joke. And so he jumped in and said, you know, I was misjudging and what's his name? Jeff Bezos' wife was an asset. And I was like, well, tell me specifically what she did. And he wouldn't tell me. So he was going down his hole, you're just a red pill and blah, blah, blah. So, hey, jump into, you'll find me on YouTube under Ted Santos. And you'll find the lives. So under Ted Santos, and if you come in, you'll see that I dropped the link in there.
How are you talking to him on Instagram?
IG Live.
Can you put the link on IG Live? Like the same StreamYard link, but just put it there. Because I know some people just struggle with moving around apps. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult, but I don't know. Some people, they're only good on one thing, like only on Instagram or only on, you know, Twitter or whatever.
I'm trying to think, how could I do that?
He might be struggling to find your channel or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I just told him what you should be able to find. Like, you mean there's more than one Ted Santos in the world? Are you serious? Come on.
Apparently.
I'm Ted Santos. What do you mean you can't find me? So.
Lord have mercy. That's the reason why I told Ted. That's the reason why I love these topping points, because we need to break down the delusional wall out here. There's a strong spirit of delusion running around out here.
He was telling me that he's used to guys who are monsters and they're rough. Because I didn't, like, really attack him. What I did was address his IQ and the inability to comprehend some things, and he got pretty upset. So we kind of went at it. Then one of his buddies jumped in. There he is. He's in the house now.
So what's up?
All right. What's going on? Amgad? What is your name? Amgad?
Amgad. That's my name.
Okay. Miss Twist, both you guys are across the pond from me. I'm here in Jersey. The new Jersey. Not Jersey. New one. The new one.
Jersey's an island. Technically British territory. I have to hold on yours.
Hey, Miss Twist, say hi to him, and get clear. Ask him what he was saying.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was just wondering what the dispute was, because apparently, I was just trying to understand I couldn't hear you properly.
So my point is this: is that in, you know, I didn't really comment on it mostly. It was someone else, and so I sort of jumped in, and you know. And listen, for me, like, I like to tussle sometimes. It's just fun. So what essentially happened was, is that basically I said, there are some exceptions to the rule, and Mackenzie Bezos is the exception to the rule because she was the one that negotiated the shipping contracts in both the UK, the US, and I think in some parts of Europe too. And then I think all the others were done probably by another team or something like that. So my point was this, is that fundamentally, you know, if she was with him from the ground up and all the way up until, 2018, 2019, yeah, she deserves a sizable chunk. And knowing a dude like Jeff Bezos, who has done shit with the CIA and all this other bullshit, if you honestly think that he wouldn't have the balls to put the balls to fight it off if he wanted to? He settled with her because, you know, listen, Jeff Bezos may seem like a beta male on the surface, but this dude's a cold, hard businessman at the end of the day. He knows it's probably going to cost him far less money. It'll cost him some time, but it'll cost him far less money to fight it out in the courts
than to actually just negotiate and settle with her. So I think he settled with her out of goodness, on the purpose of good faith, rather than just saying, oh, I'm just laying down my arms and, like, you know, I hope you can don't fuck me too much. It was just, you know, Jeff Bezos said before, this is a dude who's done deals with the CIA. So I don't think that he's a little bit of a pussycat. That's all I've got to say.
Okay. All right. And I would bet that most of what she received was in stock options, not even cash.
Yeah. So
he just gave it, took it from the company. And what I'm willing to bet, he also was protected in a trust. So she couldn't hurt him too bad. So, and after he paid her off, his business still grew. So it was like almost no
stress. And it's also his public image as well. If he fights it out, if he has this horrible divorce in the public eye, and, you know, and then the board can go after him. So it makes perfect sense for him just to negotiate a settlement. But yeah, the way I see it is this is that, guys, the general rule is this: don't get fucking married and don't involve the government in your life. It's as simple as that's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
All right, you follow him, Nick Twist?
Yeah, I don't get what the dispute is because I completely agree. Right, basically, if I'm going to be honest, you know, I had a couple of drinks, it was late at night, and so basically what happened was this.
The truth shall set you free. The truth is coming out now. So he had a few drinks, and he wanted to arm wrestle with me. That's all.
I stand by completely what I said, by the way. Like, listen, I stand by what I said. I'm not going to come here and, like, sort of backtrack. I completely own what the fuck I said. However, the point I'm trying to make is this, is that, you know, if you are going to post the meme, make sure that you know what you're actually talking about. Because, for example, I'm skeptical about the vaccine for a number of different reasons. It's not because I believe in natural media, whatever.
Don't take us down that path.
All I'm trying to say is this, is that if I'm going to post the meme, yeah, I'm going to make sure that there's some facts behind it, because the last thing I want is Instagram blocking my account because I was misinforming people, whatever the case may be. So it's all about, you know, listen, the way I see this, if you're going to start talking, you've got to be able to back up what you say. And I thought you weren't doing that, so that's why I bought the smoke.
All right. So we're going to go to the pub and have a drink now.
Who knows? Why not? That's pretty much what it sounds like to me.
So for example,
if we're looking at the case of Bill Gates, Melinda Gates is what, like a fucking secretary or some bullshit like that? Yeah, but she doesn't have a fucking penny. What, because she has three of his fucking kids? There are plenty of women in the fucking streets here who are having children with multiple different dudes. That has no value in the modern day and age now. And seeing as ladies want to put a price in the womb, well, I can hire a surrogate and it doesn't cost me that much money compared to having to take care of you. So
the problem is this,
I'll say this. Women have created this fucking problem for themselves because as soon as they say, oh, now you're putting money into all of this and everything like that, and I said, yeah, but you put a fucking price on it, so what the fuck did you think was gonna happen?
It's a transaction. Right. You want a transaction and that's what and just tell me how much it's gonna cost and I'll tell you if it's worth it.
Yeah.
And
or when I spoke to girls and they're like, you know, this guy needs to spend a minimum of like £150 on a date, and I said, then you might as well hire a professional. That's it.
Exactly.
Like professionals are just cheaper and they actually have more benefits. So, you know, and they're like going, how dare you put a price? I'm like, you're the one that fucking put the price on it. So the problem is that you can't debate these people anymore. And so the way I see it is that, listen, with anyone, I'm more than happy to fight people figuratively, not literally. The way I see this is that if we don't say anything, then this is the situation we end up in. It's simple as.
And that's the point, right? So there are too many guys who are silent. But the other part is women are hitting the wall and almost oblivious, or they think they're going to be the exception. Like they can run around, run the streets, have children, or even not have children, but they believe their time is infinite and they get smacked down by Mother Nature. And that has nothing to do with men or patriarchy. At 35, they call it a geriatric pregnancy. So, you know.
But the problem is that a lot of dudes, the reason why is because women aren't stupid. So if they can see a bunch of dudes who have no fucking standards and don't hold women to any kind of standard whatsoever. For example, listen, this woman over here, you know, she's not bad looking for a woman in her 40s, but she fucked up.
See, correct. That's the bottom line. Right. She hit the wall as a single woman.
She's married, though.
She's
now? she's married. So I mean, I don't know if she's, I don't know how long she's been married, but she is married.
Okay, cool. But the point I'm trying to make is that like we shouldn't look at every, you should look at every case on its own individual merits. So for example, if the Beckham gets a ball, yeah, that should be split 50-50. There is, listen, David Beckham, all he can do is shoot the ball from the halfway line, and that's pretty much it. The dude has no business acumen in him whatsoever. He's a good PR guy, but other than that, the whole thing about turning the Beckhams into a brand, that was Victoria's doing. So in that particular case, she deserves all the money she can get. Or if you're going to look at another prominent example in the UK, because I'm using mostly UK examples, when Paul McCartney divorced that bitch of an ex-wife a decade ago, yeah, like, she doesn't deserve a fucking penny. Like, you know, she was trying to say, like, he's really worth this, and, you know, and the court eventually told us to fuck off, because, you know, the courts in the UK are a little bit reasonable. And also, she didn't help herself in the press, but, you know, court public opinion does matter to a certain degree. But, yeah. So, yeah, the point I was trying to make fundamentally was that you need to judge every case in its own individual merits, and then you go from there. And then, and by the way, I was thinking to myself, like, you know what, if you're, you know, and as I said before, because, you know, I felt like, you know, like, you've been making it personal, so I thought, listen, if you're going to make it personal, I'm more than happy to make it personal. Like, you've seen that scene, so I will shoot the shit with anyone, and I will come after anyone, because I think it's fun. And, you know, and I like the smoke. It's fun. I've got thick skin, so, you know, if you want to say anything about me, you can make fun of my hair, make fun of my eyes, whatever fucking the case may be, a fucking shirt.
Hey, guys. He told me I was only gonna climb to the top of the Empire State Building and fall.
Yeah.
So, didn't you say that, or was that your buddy?
That was me.
That was him.
I'll load it because I was thinking to myself, for me, like, I'll say this, listen, for me, I like to shoot the shit, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I was thinking, he must have something back for me, like, I was expecting something, I was like, no, and then it happened, like, and then it was, like, what, 24 hours ago, sorry, the different times, but I don't think it was, like, I was literally ready to go to sleep, I was like, fuck, and I was like, I can't respond to this now, I've got to go do some shit in the morning, so, but no, like, for me, you know, you went online, so I thought, I might...
Bad connection. All right, so... That was fun, but I want this woman to talk a little bit more.
Now, okay, now I'm going to totally switch gears here, and I'm going to present a view from a higher landscape, because I have a wall, so I can climb it, and I can see more.
Hey, Miss Twist, you said she's married. This video is from January of 2020, so it's just about 2 years old now. You don't know how long she's been married, do you?
No, I never knew until you brought up a video, but I looked at her channel, and her latest video is coming about with her husband.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, because the thumbnail of this video says she hit the wall 17 years ago. I feel like she, I haven't seen this video, like, I'm just in and out, but I feel like it's maybe, like, is she just saying it? Because the way she's talking, she doesn't sound like, I don't know if she just figured it out in the last few years, or is she just giving the knowledge now? But it sounds to me like she's kind of got the right mentality, and that's why she's married. Because to me personally, like, when I was listening to her, I'm just thinking, there's no way you're going to be talking like that, and somebody's going to wipe her up. Doesn't matter if she's older. The only way that, like, that wouldn't have worked is if, because there's a lot of dudes who would be older than her who would want, or around her age, who would want,
right, because she's still
got the right behavior.
Right.
Yeah, like, because she's not ugly. If she was hotter, maybe I'd say, but even then, because there's some guys that just wipe anything, man. Like, so, you know, I don't really, like, me personally, I don't view it as whether or not women can get married or not. That the wall isn't really about that, as far as I'm concerned. It's more about the quality of guys you can get. Like, because if we're just going off of whether or not they got options, they're going to have options forever. There's 8-year-old women who can get more matches on Tinder than a lot of guys. There's no way they can't. They always have options technically, but if we're talking about, like, the quality of the options and what they then getting what they really want, then that diminishes as time goes on, you know. So that's how I view the wall, because I think sometimes with guys as well, like, and even women, that they think the wall just means whether or not guys like them. But it's like, guys are going to always like them, which is one of the reasons why they can stay so delusional for so long, because they're thinking, well, if guys don't want to sleep with me when I'm 30 or 35, well, I know a woman who's 40 or 50 and she's got a husband. And but you know, sometimes like they won't look at the behavior of that woman. They'll just look at her situation. So say the woman's like 40 or 50 and she's married, but it's like, yeah, but look at her behavior. She's got wifely qualities. You know what I'm saying? They don't pay attention to that. It's just, oh, she's married. Yeah, but what kind of person is she? You know what I mean? So,
right.
And even if she is a bitch, is she really attractive still? You know, or has she got some other thing that is making up for it? Like, it's usually not as clear cut sometimes as they make it out to be. But like someone said earlier, I think it was Chrissy said it, like, at the end of the day, most of them don't care and they're not going to listen to Chrissy. So, you know.
Well, see, but that's what makes the wall so devastating, is that the best man you could get, let's say it's between 15 and 25. In China, they call you Shen Nu when you hit 27. So if we go with China, from 15 to 26 is when you have the best chance of getting the absolute highest quality man that you can attract. And because from 15 to 26, you knew you could get certain kind of men. Once you hit 30, those men are no longer available for marriage. They may have sex with you, they won't marry you. And then there are guys below them who would have sex with you and maybe marry you. But then the closer you get to 35, the quality guys are only interested in sex or have no interest in you at all. But in the woman's mind, it's like that guy who's, you know, 45 years old and still talking about, you know, what he did in high school, and he hasn't done anything since then. So she gets like that. So because she's had success in the past, she hits the wall and almost doesn't realize it, because those guys, those quality guys, will still have sex with her. So she's like now delusional about the reality of life. And she technically has no access when it comes to getting wiped up to the guys that she really wants and that she was accustomed to in her prime are no longer available. But it's, for some reason, a lot of women think that they can still get those guys. And then when they finally figure out the door closed and the wall is up, they're now picking a guy that they would never even talk to.
I mean, I'll just quickly add as well that I think big part of the issue is that a lot of people don't like the level they're at. Because sometimes the reality is that, like, the type of guys that certain women may attract, that might just be the best they can do. And they think, well, I can do better. I deserve better.
When that's reality, the worst part. Right. That's the worst
part. Yeah. Because right. I think some of them, even if they get in relationships or they do get married to the dude who's on point, because it's not like these girls don't ever get married or no one gets married, but this is why we have the divorce issue. Because if they were getting married to the guy they really thought were the best option, why would they divorce them? The reason they're divorcing is because they still think there's something better. Like, they'll get with a dude and they'll think he's on point, and then 2-3 years down the road, they get bored or they feel complacent, or they just think, oh, there must be something else I can get. And in a weird way, that the wolf thing might kind of play into that. Because if they're thinking, well, I only have a limited amount of time. What if I pick the wrong guy? What if he's not the one? What if da-da-da-da-da, you know? And then that might make them feel like they got to just break out to find out. You know, it's ridiculous in its own way, but, like, a lot of them can't accept the fact that that might be as good as it's going to get. You know what I mean? Like, because that's another part of it. It's not like they only deal with, like, they all only deal with trash dudes, and then they get 30 and suddenly want decent guys. A lot of them will get with decent guys earlier, but they'll leave. Because they think that, well, it's not enough, you know. So that's the other side of it as well. Like, sometimes they just don't understand. Like, well, you can't have this fairy tale man who has fucking everything on point. He's extremely alpha, but then he also lets you lead. You know, he can read your mind. He does everything in bed perfectly. Like, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But they think, well, what if, you know? Or they look at some celebrity situation and think they've got that. Because that's what they telegraph on social media. When behind the scenes, their life's probably fucked, and you don't know that. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, like Will Smith, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's maybe there's more to it. So in the U.S., the amount of women who are not getting married is just dropped off the charts. So maybe you guys are not experiencing that in the UK, but marriages are at all-time lows in the US. So the wall, like nothing is...
No, we have it as well. I think it's in pretty much all the West.
Right. So they started keeping track of marriage rates in 1865, and it's never been this low ever since 1865, the lowest it's been. The second part is that a lot of girls are being told that first guy that you meet and you really like him or love him, don't fall for that guy. You can do better. Try your, and what they tell these women, these girls and teenagers, is try your options. Never fall for the first guy. So as you're saying, see, it's kind of like you think they think there's something better. No, they're being told there's something better out there, and you need to try your options and see what's better. And what you're hearing more and more is these women hit 35 and talk about that guy who got away. And at 35, she doesn't have access to that guy or any other guy of his caliber. So the wall has just cut her off. The wall hits, and she now can't get to those guys on the other side. You know, that's before she hit the wall. She doesn't have access to them. But they're literally being told to do that, which is unfortunate. And they trust their mothers and grandmothers and aunts who give them this advice, and they try it.
But that's the thing. I wouldn't let them off the hook like that, because I don't think it's advice. I think a lot of them just choose, because a lot of them could have their mom or their sister give them actually advice and say, that's a good guy, and they'll still leave. Like, I think that a lot of them they're just deluded. I don't think it really – I mean, there might be people who are also pushing it, but generally I don't think it really matters. Like, I think that so long as they have – it's temptation. Like, you know, you don't have to have someone tell you something for you to be tempted. Like, if you see an opportunity and you just feel the temptation, everyone feels temptation. Guys feel it, women feel it. But the problem with them is that they'll be situation at some point, and they'll feel like sabotaging and destroying the entire thing for what? Because of some possibility or some, you know, fantastical idea of a guy that's out there that they've never even seen before. Like, they don't even have any proof it exists.
This is why I'm saying the things I'm saying. It wasn't always like that here. I'm telling you that it started in the 70s. Don't fall for the first guy. Try your options. Even women born in the 80s, this has not stopped. They keep perpetuating this. And if you tell little girls this and keep telling them into their teenage years and in their 20s, don't fall for the first guy. And the women who are telling them this are much older, and it's almost like they're saying it like a vengeance. Don't fall for that guy. So they actually believe it. And so what that has created is a culture of there's something better out there, the prince. I'm going to find the perfect guy. So they're being constantly told, try your options, try your options. And I've said to women born in the 80s, so I understand you were told to try your options, and you watch them get very defensive, and they say, that's not fair. You can't use that against me. It's like, no, I know you were told that. I get what you're saying, and there's a lot of accuracy to what you're saying. Like, they get sent into a trap, and they don't know how to get out of it.
But it's a trap that they set themselves in. It's not that after they hit the wall, they can't get a man. But what happens is their mind always stays stuck in that early 20s age bracket when they had the most, the largest pool of available men, you know, and probably the most higher caliber men, you know, going after them.
Right.
And so what happens when they age out, they can't, women don't date down, right? Even though they think they're dating down, but what they're doing is actually dating to a man that's on their level, but he's on a level that they wouldn't pick when they were in their 20s. So to them, that's dating down, even though he's at their current level or maybe even higher, you know? He's just a guy they wouldn't pick in their 20s when they were at their peak. And because of their own hypergamy, they won't date down. So they'll just end up dying alone. It's absolutely, it's fascinating and hilarious to watch at the same time.
Yep, and it is
because it's like they start off with like a self-inflicted wound, and then they like a self-inflicted knife wound, and then they follow it up with a gunshot to the head.
Yep, an imperator, right? You're saying they think too highly of themselves, and that, see, that's added to the fuel, like this whole know your worth, and I think the guy who was on, it's like women are turning it into a transaction. Know your worth, a man should have to pay for you, and blah, blah, you know, the list just goes on and on, sort of ad nauseum, and it has them think highly of themselves. So they've been delusioned. They didn't do this by themselves. It's the older generation that really screwed them. And won't turn.
I'll say this. I have heard older women tell, you know, younger women to get their education and blah, 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 blah. And it's simply because they made poor mating choices in their youth, and they ended up dying, you know, end up being alone or divorced or whatever, and nobody wants them. So they think the solution is to basically be a man, and that'll make men want you. No, that doesn't.
Right.
Nothing
right.
turns men off more than women trying to compete with men.
And imperatory, yes. At some point, you would think, like, people just grow up. But, I mean, you know, they talk about if there are religions that say, if you give me a child for the first 7 years of their life, I will hook them into that religion and they will never be able to get away from it. No matter what you do, unless you do some extreme work, you know, to get them to unlearn it. But the point was, if you give me a child the first 7 years of their life, I will indoctrinate them so much with this religion that their whole life will be affected by all the things that I teach them, and they won't know how to get out of that. And that's essentially what's happening to a lot of women. They're getting indoctrinated with feminism, and it's on a dead-end street. And the women, the older women who know it's a dead-end, won't tell the younger women this. And, yeah, we see some of these older women still trying to compete with the younger women. So it's just gotten so convoluted, man. It's really ugly. And the younger women are becoming casualties each year as each year goes by. And so, yes, I'm not making excuses. It's just, listen, if you only speak English, that's all you know. And there's a lot that these women just are not being told.
But I'm going to say this, Ted. This might sound harsh, but I think Mother Nature prepare for this contingency plan, because that's the reason why they outnumber men like 3-1. It's they're acceptable losses. Let's just say that.
Well, exactly. So the lesson has to be learned. So you didn't learn, and you cannot defeat Mother Nature. And just like in China, where they aborted all those daughters, like they tried to fight Mother Nature, and they basically screwed their sons by aborting all those girls. And now there aren't enough women for their sons.
Agreed. So the women who are becoming victims of feminism and who are, you know, dying alone, whatever, you know, Mother Nature already planned itself, said, okay, you know, you want to, we're going to account for a certain number of women that just aren't going to make the cut.
I'm going to make
an overabundance of them.
And you'll be sacrificed, as an example. And if anyone is dumb enough to keep following, you'll be sacrificed also. So how many more sacrifices do women need? Imperator, interesting. All men are raised blue pill for more than 7 years. How are we able to fight the blue pill but not the women? There are a lot of men who are not fighting the blue pill. There are more men in the U.S. who are feminists. Some of them will admit it, but a lot of them won't.
I can somewhat answer that question that he just posed. It's because women are very social creatures. They're not going to go – they have – it's safer for them in the herd. So if the herd of women, the vast majority of women, follow these feminist ideologies, for the majority of women, they want that safe space, and they know their safe space is, their safety is in numbers, right? Because men are, we're predators, right? So for them, they're going to go, they're going to side with the other women for, you know, from a purely, what do you call it, self-preservation standpoint. So that's what it is. And, they don't, and, a lot of them don't like it. They don't believe it, but it's, like I said, it's a safe space for them.
Well,
that's
and
why too many won't come on the show.
Chris, take what you said, right, and we can look at this bigger picture. The people who create new industries, entrepreneurs who do things that haven't been done before, that is a huge social risk. Nikola Tesla, even Henry Ford, there are lots of people who have done things and changed the trajectory of mankind because they took a social risk and presented something. Even the Wright brothers, they ridiculed them. Women don't take those.
Yeah.
That's why women don't create new industries, because the social risk is so high that they, as you're saying, they won't want to leave that herd where it's safer. So they let men take those kinds of risks because it's way too risky to get ostracized for doing something no one's ever done before. So this is
that's
so
also,
yes, easier to, and that's
why they take
oriented
job.
Let me say this last one. It's easier for advertising agencies to target women than it is to target men, because it's easier to influence women than men.
Absolutely right, and that's also why women choose. We live in an era where women have the most freedom that they've ever had, the ability to do whatever they want more than they ever had. And on top of that, society has created a set of rules that says even if they can't make the cut, you will still hire them into fields that they can't do, right? Like engineering, whatever. But with all this freedom that they have, they still choose, the vast majority of them still choose service-oriented careers, nursing, the food
right.
service industry,
right.
And, you know, other service-related, you know, areas.
Healthcare, just healthcare in general, administrative, you know, they are, that's the majority, you know, administrative staff in the healthcare industry, social workers, psychologists.
Yeah, and then they try to blame it on, it's the patriarchy that's making us, no, it's not, it's your own biological nature. Your biological nature is telling you to do this because this is where your safety, your safe space is, and that's what they go do. But they still try to blame it on us.
Well, the other thing is that most high IQs, only 2% of the population in the U.S. has a high IQ, and most of those of that 2% are men, the overwhelming majority. So some of these, like math and physics and nuclear engineering, aeronautics engineering, they require naturally high IQ people, and most women don't have that, so they naturally will not gravitate to that. And that's not an insult to women. It's you know, we're just talking simple biology right now. So I want to see what else this woman says.
Sharply cool. If someone comes from a very healthy childhood, those kinds of people are ready to start a family right out of the gate, or at least ready to spot and find a good person to do that with, right? But how many people are raised well? There's a saying that I recently read that's something to the effect of, you don't have to teach your children anything, they'll just end up like you. So that's why your role as a parent is so important. So people emulate their parents and their parents' relationship with each other. That's why I'm fond of strong couples who show their love and mutual respect to each other in front of their kids. I'm fond of couples who have a caregiver at home. Not a chauffeur, not a maid, but someone who runs the household with the intent of teaching their children how to run a household, how to be grown up, how to do that. Because release day is approaching. Childhood has a wall too. We're all past that wall. But many women find that managing a household or raising children not that rewarding. And I would say that many women today who think that devoting their energy to their family is degrading or boring or oppressive, probably have a parent or parents who thinks the same thing. Going back to, you don't have to teach children anything, they'll just emulate you. Either that or those children, those people, those women who think that, have some formal or compulsory education under their belt, and that's where they pick that notion up. We live in a society right now that's messed up, right? The 10% of the population is alcoholic. Alcoholics don't make the parents. Did you know that? There are drug-addicted parents, parents with serious psychological and mental disorders, many untreated. Many children have suffered abuse, molestation, violence in their home by their family. Many were neglected or hated. Others were left alone. And others were told by their parents that they're useless or a burden, or they're openly despised. Those kids grow up. Some of us, as them, thanks, Mom and Dad, for some of us, right? So I'm hearing a lot of complaints from men that women are not being the sweet and loving and lovely women that they're supposed to be. They're all the bad things in the world, right? And I understand the reason for the complaints, but can we take a look at the reasons for those? Remember, this is opinion. But these women are unrepaired and unprepared children masquerading in adult bodies.
So I want to address what she said about being unprepared. So that's another thing. So we talk about an imperator. Yes, ultimately women are making these decisions. They're not stupid. They understand. Even if they understand consequences, they may believe they are the exception. But the other big problem is women want these high caliber men. And just as I was asking Leticia early on, these women don't understand what it takes to be a wife to those men. So these women are unprepared, unqualified. They haven't been educated. They may have a college degree. They may even have a PhD, but they are incompetent when it comes to understanding. They're unprepared and incompetent when it comes to understanding what it takes to be a wife to the kind of man they claim to want. And I think in this day and age, that may be one of the biggest problems. So a woman might be very attractive with a great body, and she may do all the, quote, like she's saying, the soft feminine things, but she's clueless about what it means to be a wife to that kind of man. She's completely unprepared. So it's hard to say that she knows what she's doing. She's just really ignorant to what it takes to get that man to take her down the aisle. And I think that is one of the biggest problems. And you're getting more and more men going overseas. But the kind of men that women want, and that's why they keep saying, well, they're finding bad choices because they're only qualified for the guys who are lousy. And that's a huge problem. And I don't know if you guys are seeing that in the UK, but I see that here in the U.S. so often.
Yeah, they keep, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, they keep focusing on high-value men, and these women don't realize that they don't even qualify for average men. The average man making, the average salary, which is only $40,000, they don't qualify for him.
Right. So they definitely don't qualify for a man of much higher caliber. And there's the problem, right? And they're, well, I look good and he could potentially have sex with me, or I'll make sex available. But they don't understand. And this is what I was saying to Leticia. She was saying, well, these women are educated and they're smart. It's like, but they're uneducated about being white. They're clueless.
No, you know what they say? They say that once they meet the right man, they'll learn to be a wife and this and that. And they don't understand. And no, you have to have all that. That when you have all that first, that's what makes the man say, okay, she has everything I'm looking for. I'm going to give her a ring. Not, I'm going to give her a ring and hope she learns to do all that.
Well, right, exactly. So
it's a job, and you don't become a carpenter without knowing carpentry first. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And someone had to teach you that. Even if you just read it and you just naturally, there are some people who just figured it out on their own. I got that. Those are the outliers. But somewhere, someone helped you master. I mean, I watched the Williams sisters and their father who taught, you know, who got them into tennis. But their father took them to a certain level, and then he found a coach. And then when he knew his daughters needed a better coach than the one he had gotten, he disposed of that coach and found a brand new coach who took them to their next level. And he managed their careers so that they didn't get burnt out. But he knew that every step of the way there needed to be someone there who could help them get to a new level of mastery. And it seems like, and this is what I was saying, that doctors and lawyers believe being educated makes them good businessmen, and it doesn't. Having a college degree doesn't make you a good wife. Those they're not transferable. And so maybe too many mothers and fathers have become negligent in that regard and believe in that it's more important to tell your daughter, don't be dependent on a man, and the education will get you across the goal line. And it's just not. There are more women failing than ever. And as you said, they don't even qualify for the average guy. So how are they going to get the guy they claim they deserve?
No, you're right. It's too many women telling these women, too many older women telling younger women to wait for men, wait for the finished product of men, while they're
right.
Not even works in progress.
Well, and so that you just open up another thing, which is you don't teach girls what to look for in a successful man, so you actually never get him. Like a lot of women are still finding guys, their husband in college, and he has nothing. But they, you know, they may be looking at his family and what kind of course, you know, family he comes from, but they're looking at him, the man, and is this the kind of man I want to be with to raise children? And as a man, you're also looking at, as this woman said here, are my children going to be safe with this woman? Or is she going to outsource motherhood? Is she the proper woman to prepare my children for life? I mean, that's what your parents are there to do. So high-caliber men do not want an incompetent woman who's going to make incompetent children, because they'll be living off of you forever. You don't want that. Now, so women are not completely comprehending that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right, you know, that's why, you know, men don't typically have children with stupid women. I'm going to say women who are more stupid than usual.
Right, they are coming up as just incompetent, and they've been told that they got it going on and know your worth, and like the marketplace is going to determine your worth, not you. You can have a 1987 Honda Civic, and you can have put work into it, but it doesn't mean the marketplace is going to pay for that. It's still
right, and they all view themselves as tens. If you ask every last one of them to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10, they'll all tell you they're tens. Where, well, if they're all tens, then there is no ten. Ten doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's a different topic, but yes. I've heard the women say, yes, I'm a 10, and they say, well, that's perfect beauty and flawless. Yeah, I'm a 10. And that also is what will have the wall come, because at some point reality hits. And maybe for some of these women, they go into 40s and 50s and still say, well, I'm a 10, and I know what I deserve, and she becomes the cat woman.